జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్వర శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితి నిలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్వర శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిలహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవ భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధా కుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురగిరి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి జాయ్, తులసిదేవికి జాయ్, భక్తిదేవికి జాయ్, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి జాయ్. గో ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధరవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సబలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తదా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమన తం నమామి హరింబరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చార్తేషు విజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధాన్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజితగైదవోత్ర వరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవదే మహాముని హృదే కింబాబరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్రకృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ దర్శనా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం బలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం విపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం హురహోరసిగాభు విభావుగా సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమ. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహగాదరమజుహావ. పుత్రైదిదన్మైదయత్తరవోభినేదూతం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారవేగమధ్యాల్పదీపమదిదీర్షదాంతమోంధం సంసారీణాం కర్ణయాహురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం జైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణు కుణిదాదృదానేందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం నక్కనిగాభి గాభి గాభి. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందప్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమవీషాయాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం గరవిరాజిత చక్రశంగం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం గరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయమతి సుందర మందహాసం వదాలేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూచయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురదో మమ. మూగం కరోలి వాజాలం పంగుం లంఘైదే గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రజితాం పురాణమునినా మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని మంబత్వామనుసందదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధి ఫుల్లారవిందాయత్ర త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక బాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృత దుహే నమః. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട രാജേന്ദ്രദജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോത്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹിനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹര പേലീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാൽ ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രദ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതീഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്വനന്ദിവൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈസംഗപദൈർക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദൈവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ So the nectar, which has come from the milk ocean, the demigods have snatched the nectar, and eventually when Mohini appeared there, they lost the interest in the nectar, they got attracted to Mohini, typically the demoniac tendencies. As you can see there, that karmam, even though well performed, if there is no bhakti in the karmam, then that karmam will also be an inauspicious thing. To show that, there are many examples in the Bhagavatam to indicate this point. Rukmini Devi and Shishupala, both of them engaged in karmam. Shishupala executed all the sacrifices necessary before marrying Rukmini Devi. Rukmini Devi also performed the sacrifices to please Krishna. Because Rukmini Devi's relationship with was such that even though both of them have executed the karmam, when the results came, Rukmini received the benefit, Shishupala didn't get it. The reason for that is that all karmam, ultimately if it is not offered to Krishna, Shishupala's karmam was like that. Shishupala executed the karmam purely from a ritualistic nature. It has to be done as a ritual, it was done, but there was no surrender to Krishna. Therefore, Shishupala's mission failed. Rukmini Devi, on the other hand, although the karmams were executed by Rukmini, Rukmini's heart was surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, it is that surrender of Rukmini to Krishna that brought the results for Rukmini. To indicate this point, Bhagavadam is bringing these two personalities in front of us, Rukmini Devi and Shishupala. Shishupala did all the Vedic rituals as required by the Shastram. Everything was done. But Shishupala's heart was not there in the sense that he had no surrender to Krishna. Therefore, Shishupala's endeavor didn't succeed. Rukmini Devi, although all the sacrifices were performed by Rukmini also, even though not perfectly because of the situation she was in, but because Rukmini was surrendered to Krishna, therefore Rukmini's sacrifices gave the results, Shishupala's didn't. So, Rukmini followed that. Kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrite svabhaval karodi yadyan sakalam varasmai narayana yadi samarpayami. That principle. So, here the demons, they had come. They were not attracted to Krishna. On the other hand, they had no faith in Krishna consciousness, practically. That is why they completely rejected Krishna's instructions, snatched the pot from Dhanvantari and ran away from there. And later on, Krishna took the Mohini form, and attracted by the Mohini form, demons gave up the attachment to the nectar and handed it over to her to distribute the nectar. You will see another instance in the Bhagavatam, Paundraga Vasudeva's story. He dressed like Krishna, didn't he? He dressed up like Krishna. And actually Paundraga was a good person, but he wanted to become like Krishna. He dressed like Krishna, he wanted to become like Krishna. But at the same time, internally, instead of bhakti, he developed enmity, vairabhava inside. And that is what has happened. And if that inimical nature was not there in Paundraga Vasudeva, he would have become a devotee, first-class devotee. And even though inimical nature was there in Paundraga Vasudeva, Krishna handed over liberation to him. Without looking at it, Krishna handed over liberation to Paundraga Vasudeva. So, if he hasn't exhibited that inimical nature towards Krishna, he could have lived like that for a long time in this planet. But important point is that under any circumstances, this inimical thoughts should not develop in the heart towards anyone. That's what it is pointing at. Particularly to Krishna, towards Krishna, towards the Srimad Bhagavatam, and towards devotees. Not to develop this inimical nature, vairabhava. Vairabhava means it is based on body. Dehalpa buddhi, isn't it? Deham, we are thinking that I am this body. It is on that bodily level that this inimical nature builds up inside. Vairabhava. Vairabuddhi comes from that. So, if that happens, that is disrespectful to Krishna, to Srimad Bhagavatam, and to the devotees, if that happens, then it would cause problems. On the other hand, there should be respect towards all of them. So, respect to Krishna, respect to devotees, respect to Bhagavatam. Disrespectfulness should not happen there. And Srimad Bhagavatam is showing this to us that although they have done all these things, the attitude of the demons at that time, Mahabali and his followers, all of them, they turned out to be, turned their face away from Krishna. They didn't have any attraction for Krishna, right? And therefore, these thoughts came into their mind without giving to anybody, without giving to anyone, they wanted to enjoy the results of churning the milk ocean, that is the nectar, right? So, the moment they handed over the result to Mohini, their good fortune began. You see, Mohini, initially, the demoniac nature was happening there. That demoniac nature in the demons changed when they handed over the pot of nectar to Mohini. After such a long endeavor, the results came. And when that results were surrendered to Krishna, the benefit of that was they became the demoniac Mahabali and his group of people. Their mind got purified. Their mind got purified. Bhagavatam is teaching us all these things. This churning the milk ocean and the nectar and the fight between the demigods and the demons is all to show to us that any karmam, like the way demons have also done karmam. Actually, they have done more karmam than the demigods. They have worked very hard. And they got the result also, snatched the result. But when the result was given to Krishna, they got purified. The demons got purified. That tattvam is spoken through this. The tattvam is this. You may work very hard in this world, and you may get a lot of results from this world. But if the results are not given to Krishna, you will never get purified. Purification happens by offering the results to Krishna. This is what it is indicating. Even the demons, Mahabali and these people, who are very demoniac, they snatched the nectar from there. But somehow or the other, they got the good fortune to hand it over to Mohini Murthy, the results to Krishna, and in that process they got purified. So you will see that in the verses 14-15. Atho peksha kudasnana. This is the 9th chapter. To indicate to us this, that karmam will happen through us. Karma is a part of this body. It will happen. So they executed the karma, and after they have worn fresh clothes. Normally they say you should have two clothes, one the dhoti and the other one is the uttariyam together. And that is the way all karma should be executed. And decorated themselves. And now they are going to preparing themselves to enjoy the nectar that has come from the milk ocean. They have asked Mohini to distribute the nectar. This is also a point there that Bhagavatam is also a nectar. Srimad Bhagavatam is a nectar. And in order, before we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we got to organize our mind also properly for that, to hear Bhagavatam. The mind should be properly purified before hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And which means that proper Shraddha should be there in the Bhagavatam. Only a mind that is Shraddha, has Shraddha, will get the benefit of Bhagavatam. Like nectar here, Mohini told them to bathe first and dress properly, fast before taking the nectar. So many purifications before consuming the nectar. In the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam also, like he says in the Valpuranam, is like a nectar. Before you take Srimad Bhagavatam, before you start reading Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one should purify oneself inside, outside, particularly inside the mind, by chanting the holy name. So, so that is why in different ages, different purificatory processes were spoken. Isn't it? Krite jadhyayade vishnu, tretayam yajado makhehi, dwabare parijadhyayam kalautad harigirtanal. That these are the processes in different ages. In Kriyayugam or Satyugam, Dhyanam is the purification process. Tredayam Yajadomakhai. In Tredayugam, Yajnam or Yagam is the purificatory process. Dwabare Parijariyayam. In Dwabareyugam, Parijaranam. Deity worship is the purificatory process. Kalau Tad Harikirtanal. In the Kaliyugam, chanting the holy name of Krishna is the purificatory process. So, purification is a pre-requirement or prerequisite before consuming the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is necessary, one, before one listens to Bhagavatam, one should prepare mentally that he has that enough purity inside, not with the rajogunam and tamogunam inside, one should sit and listen to Bhagavatam. That will not help very much. That's the situation. So, in the sacrifices also, You see in the several Vedic sacrifices that vapa, that means the animal is killed and its brain is taken away from there, inside. At that time, it leaves the body, the jiva, life goes away. And normally no one has the authority to take the life of another living entity. And therefore, because of this, in Kali Yugam, these sacrifices are not recommended. And that is why they make the goat, the horse, everything with rice flour. With the flour they make it. And by Vedic mantra, they give life to it. And in Dwapara Yugam, it was recommended the deity worship, puja. So, for deity worship also, the restrictions, not like to get pure ingredients and a pure place, the place should be pure, and a pure mind for doing the deity worship. So, all these things are difficult in the age of Kali. A pure place for worship, a pure heart in the devotee, a pure heart in the devotee, and pure ingredients for the worship. None of these three exist in the Kali Yuga, which you know very well how it is. In Kali Yuga, to have a pure heart is difficult. Unless one chants a lot, Krishna's name, lot of Hare Krishna, one chants, there is a possibility of the heart getting purified. Similarly, to get pure ingredients is difficult. Everything is adulterated in Kali. Similarly, a good place of worship, a pure place, is also difficult to find in the age of Kali. Therefore, there is only chanting the holy name is the process that is required and recommended in the age of Kali. You will find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, it said that two forms are spoken there, Krishna's form and Ramachandra's form. Dheyam sada paribhavatnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjinadam sharenyam vrityardiham padavalpam. Vrityardiham, if you look at the 11th canto, Dheyam sada paribhavatnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanadam sharenyam vrityardiham pranadapada bhavabdi bodham vande mahapurushade charanaravindam, referring to Krishna. It's in the 4th or 5th chapter. Dheyam sada paribhavatnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shiva virinjanidam sharenyam vrityartiham pranadapala bhavabdibodam. Verse 34, chapter 5. Vrityartiham pranadapala bhavabdibodam vande mahapurushate charanaravindam, referring to Krishna. Two verses you will find there, one after the other. In the age of Kali, one should chant Krishna's name, Rama's name. Rama, here of it. Here it is spoken as Sri Rama, Ramachandra's name. And that is, this 33 is referring to Krishna. And 34 is referring to Ramachandra. Tektva sudus teja surepsidara jalakshmim dharmeshtamarya vajasa yadaga dharanyam maya mrgam deidayipsidamanyadhaval vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. Those two verses. Deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they serve that lotus feet of Krishna. Otherwise, also you could serve Ramachandra's lotus feet. How?
Tektva sudupsida surepsida rajalakshmi. That means he gave up all the opulences of Ayodhya and went to the forest. And Lord Ramachandra's lotus feet was hurt by the stones and the thorns in the forest. So Krishna Katha and Ramakatha, Krishna stories and Ramachandra stories, means Bhagavatam and Ramayanam, both. That's why those two verses are talking about. Deyam sada paribhavagdam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shivavirinjanudam sharanyam vrityartiham pranadavala bhavabdhivodam. Bhavabdhivodam means one who is capable of getting us out from this cycle of birth and death. Bhava means that cycle of birth and death. Bhavad vande maha purushate charanaravindam. Krishna's lotus feet. Then the next verse, Dhyayam tektva sudupsida surepsida rajyalakshmi dharmishta aryavajasa yadagadaranyam. One who have given up the complete, all the opulences of the palace and the Ayodhya. Tektva sudupsida surepsida rajyalakshmi dharmishta aryavajasa yadagadaranyam. That he went to the forest to make the father's words come true. Adagadaranyam, mayamrigam, daidayipsidam anyodhaval vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. That mayamrigam, the deer, he saw Marija came as a deer and he followed that. And to that Ramachandra's shelter, that's what he's talking about here. So, these Rama and Krishna, two appearances in the age of Kali has a special significance. That is why Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For this reason, it has come, right? So, these 16 letters, who is chanting these letters, they have won over Kali. Example, normally in a verse there are 32 letters, so you can see this 16 plus 2 letters, so there's totally 32 letters, like a verse in the Naradiya Puranam, Naradiya Puranam. So, the inhabitants of Vrindavanam, gopis and others, they were chanting the holy name, calling Krishna. All the time, Rama, Krishna, calling Balaram and Krishna. Basically, they were chanting the Mahamantra all the time, the gopis. So, but gopis were not aware of the potency of the holy name till they came for the solar eclipse in Samanda Panchakam. When they came to Kurukshetram, or which is called later on as Kurukshetram, previously known as Samanda Panchakam, in that place, that's where they came to know about that they were chanting Hare Krishna all these years. They came to know about it. If you look in the 10th canto, 82, 83, 84, three chapters, is referring to this Samanda Panchakam, solar eclipse, what happened. Even though Uddhava spoke to them about it and convinced them, when Uddhava came to Vrindavanam and spoke to the gopis, when they realized it, that Krishna Rama Kathamuda Na Vindan Bhava Vedanam. If you look into the 10th canto, in the 11th chapter, when When 11th chapter, verse 58, 10, 11, 58. Iti Nandadayo Gopa Krishna Rama Kadha Muda Kurvando Rama Manascha Na Vindan Bhava Vedanam. It says, important verse, Idi Nandadeyo Gopa, Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men, Yashoda Devi and cowherd boys, all of them, Krishna Rama Katham Muda, constantly chanting their names and hearing, talking about them. Gopis, what were they doing throughout life in Vrindavanam? They were always chanting the names of Krishna and Rama, and they were always talking about Krishna and Rama. Basically, they were in a Bhagavatam all the time. Their life was like that. It's not that they sat there with a book in the front and listened to the katha, but their life was Bhagavatam, isn't it? Vrindavanam, they chanted the holy name, always calling Krishna and Rama all the time, looking after Balaram, and that was their good fortune. And also, always talking about Krishna and Balaram. Is that not Bhagavatam means? So this is what he is saying here. Iti nandadayo gova Krishna Rama katham muda kurvando ramamanascha navindan bhavavedanam. What does that mean? Navindan bhavavedanam means that because they were so absorbed in Krishna and Balaram, they never knew the miseries of material life. Bhavavedana. Bhavavedana means the miseries of material life. They never felt it in their life. Now Vindan Bhavavedana. Bhagavatam is telling us, if you want to free yourself from the miseries of this world, take to Srimad Bhagavatam and constantly absorb in the Bhagavatam. That is the way to escape from the material existence. Now Vindan Bhavavedana, it said. So, here, Garga Maharshi gave these names Krishna and Balaram to the two boys so that everybody could chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, right? So, and from there you can see 5,000 years ago these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, appeared. Garga Maharshi gave the names to them, Krishna and Balaram. From there it spread further, isn't it? From there, whole of Vrajam, and then whole of Bharatavarsham, and further into the whole world later on. So, and that is how we have this holy name now. Whenever we chant the holy name, Krishna's and Balaram's holy names, immediately it reminds us of those two appearances, Krishna's appearances, right? So, what is the nectar? This nectar, what we are talking about here, churning the milk ocean, the nectar, is nothing but this Bhagavata Amrita, the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So, in order that, to get that nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, for that purpose, we have to take the other nectar. That means, to chant the holy name, Bhagavatam, this nectar is required to chant the holy name properly. The nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam is required. You will understand this better in the 11th canto when Kavi Maharshi explained what Bhagavata Dharma is in 12 verses to Nimi in Ekadasha Skandam. Where you can understand what Bhagavata Dharma means, isn't it? He asked this question. It's a very, very important part of the Bhagavatam, Niminavayogi Samvadam. In there, beginning with Manye Kudaschil Bhayamachudasya, Pada Ambujo Vasanamatra Nityam, Udikna Bhukde Asadal Pabhaval, Vishwapana Yatra Nivarta Devi. From that words onwards, there are 10-12 verses. If you study them very well, you will know what Bhagavata Dharma means. So, in order to enjoy this nectar of Krishna consciousness, the to chant the holy name, you require strength. And the nectar is normally taken to free ourselves from the old age, effect of old age. Only if the old age goes away, you will feel young. And only if you are young, you can chant the holy name. At the old age, you won't be able to chant. Body won't allow you. The mind also. Mind will go with the body. Body will say, oh, I can't do anything. I'm very tired, always feeling weak. always helpless. The body will keep saying this and the mind will surrender. And there will be no chanting after that. It will be very difficult to do that. So, we require that youth, the strength, and so here you can see, they said to the demons, Mohini told them that to engage in karma, you have engaged in the karma, now wear fresh clothes after bathing and fasting and bathing, and then wearing nice clothes and decorated nicely, they came in. He told them to, 15th verse, Yathopa Josham Vasamsi Paridhaya Hadanite Kusheshu Pravishan Sarve Prag Agresh Abhibhushidaha. 15th verse. They're saying to her, she is saying to them that bring Kusha grass, Darbha grass, and told them to put a wooden plank on the floor and turn towards the east. And on this Darbha grass, she told the demigods to sit on that. And also to the demons, both of them. She told both of them to sit on this Darbha grass. Because Darbha is supposed to be the one for as an asana, Darbhasana. You will see Parishit Maharaj also when he came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Darbha grass he covered the place and he sat on the Darbha grass. Both of them sat on that. So, this principle for any auspicious ceremony to sit on the Darbha grass has come from that time. So, then, Adhobeshe Kradasnana Hutvaja Havishanalam Dutva Go Viprabhudebhya Kradasustaino Dija Yadhova Josham Vasamsi Paridhaya Hadanite Kusheshu Pravishan Sarve Praga Agreshu Abhibhushidaha. Both of them were very obedient to Mohini. Who? Demigods and the demons. Both of them were very nice students. Both of them. Like sometimes you see good students listening everything what they have been told properly in the same way. So whatever Mohini said, they were willing to listen because they were thinking that we are going to get the nectar now. And the demigods, they wanted the nectar. And they were not that attracted like the way demons were attracted to Mohini. Because demigods knew that Krishna has taken this form. And they just wanted the nectar to get their strength back. They were too old, weren't they? They felt very old and sick. When you are very old and sick, all you want is health back. Not nectar. Whatever that will give your health back, that's what you want back, isn't it? Not Mohini or anything else. So, demons, because they have got this Varuni inside, they will also listen to anything what they have been told. The demigods were listening because they want their health back. So they were very obedient. They sat as they were told on the Kushagras in a line on one side. And the demons, Mahabali and his men, they had Varuni inside. And that Varuni was working from inside, looking at Mohini. And in that attraction, they were also willing to listen everything what they were told. So they did everything what they were told. That's why 16th verse you see, Prang Mukesh Ubavishteshu Sureshu Didijeshu Cha Duva Modida Shalayam Jushtayam Malya Divagehi. That's what it's saying. That they have organized a good marquee, they have put it on, and lamps were burning everywhere, incense, camphor, all kinds of things to make the atmosphere very pure. Because they are going to get nectar now, aren't they? So Mohini told them that you require everything should be pure here. Atmosphere should be nice. And everything should be decorated very well with garlands and flowers, everything. And plenty of incense and other things were burned. And both of them sat. Demigods and the demons, both of them sat, ready to eat. All they have to do now is to eat. That's all. Just like, there is no point in buying Srimad Bhagavatam book, right? So only that jiva who has some mercy from Krishna will enjoy Bhagavatam. A lot of people think that, oh, if I'll buy a set of Bhagavatam and keep it at home. There's nothing wrong, but to enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam, also you require little mercy from Krishna. In the same way, that aswadanam, or enjoying Bhagavatam, is Krishna's grace. That's Krishna's grace. So, some people, they buy all Bhagavatams and all commentaries, everything, and store them nicely. But they never had time to look at it. They were so busy in life with other things. So that's no use, is it? So, unless there is, Krishna gives you that, a little support from inside, you won't feel attraction to the Bhagavatam, to start reading, to link, thinking about it, absorbing in that. That mercy is Krishna's. That has to come from Krishna, right? So, to take this nectar, what they have got, even though the demons have organized everything, they did everything, because they didn't have the mercy, they didn't get the nectar. Similar situation. Srimad Bhagavatam nectar, if you want to enjoy the Srimad Bhagavatam nectar, even though you may have Bhagavatam at home in your shelf, to enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has to give you that special mercy. Only then you can enjoy. In the same way, this nectar also here, what they have churned and got from the ocean, because the demons did not get that mercy, they didn't get the nectar. The demigods got the nectar. So, and they got it. Actually, demigods didn't work that hard like the way demons did. First of all, they didn't have the strength to do anything, right? And the demons have worked more than the demigods while churning the milk ocean, right? But what happened? In Mohini's sweet words, they fell. Who? The demons, right? And when demigods were looking at the nectar pot, the demons were looking at Mohini. This is the difference. The demons were looking at Mohini more than they were not too bothered about nectar pot. And the demigods were only concerned about the nectar in the pot so that they can get their youth back. They were feeling finished. They're totally finished, right? So that is the difference. You see the difference? So Mohini, Krishna, who is in the form of Mohini, called Lakshmi. And together they said, we will do the service, distributing the nectar, right? And that's what he's saying there, you see. Pramugheshu pravishteshu sureshu dirijeshu cha duba maudida shalayam jushtayam malyadipagai tasyam narendra karabhururu shaddugulam shroni itadala sagadirmada vihvalakshi sa kujari kanaga nubura shinjidena kumbhastani kalashapani radha vivesha. A description of Mohini there. Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is saying this of all. What he is saying there is, he said that sitting in that state, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit this. Have a nice look at Mohini, he says. To who? To Parikshit. Who is saying? Sukadeva Goswami. Please have a good look at her. Through that verse. Through that verse you are supposed to look at Mohini. That's what the beauty of that. Look at her dress. Look at her body. He says to her. That, that Mohini Devi, her beauty, right? And her eyes are a little bit reddish. What happened was, Krishna says to them, before you serve something, first you should taste yourself a little bit, isn't it? To see everything is okay. So, first person who took the nectar was Krishna himself in the Mohini form. So Mohini tasted it. Nobody said one word. Everybody sat there quietly and looked at her, right? So Krishna's approach is this. Actually, who did the whole job? Mohini is saying that. Who actually, that was her mood at that time. I have done all the work, practically, isn't it? While churning, when the Mandara mountain went down, from the bottom came a tortoise incarnation and lifted the whole thing up. Krishna did that. So Krishna says, I have done all the work, so why should I not taste first what has come from that, right? So, and when it went up, Krishna went and sat on top of it and brought it down, the Mandara mountain, right? So, as Kurmam, tortoise, he lifted it from the bottom. And you will see in the 7th chapter, in the 12th verse, Ubharyagendram, 12th verse, 7:12. Giriradivanya akramya hastena sahasrabahu tastau divi brahma bhavendra mukhei abhishtu advismano bhivrishtaha. Krishna took 1,000 hands and like another mountain stood there and pushed this mountain down, and at that time Lord Shiva, Indra, Brahma and others offered flowers to Krishna for that form. Krishna is taking so many forms here to complete this project. So, and then Krishna entered into the demigod's body and the demon's body to continue the churning. And he also entered into the rope, Vasuki also, the rope, snake. Krishna entered into that. And then Krishna did the churning. He entered into demigods and demons. He entered into the Vasuki, he lifted the mountain from the bottom and he pushed the mountain from the top and he himself churned the... So whole churning of this milk ocean, strictly speaking, it's Krishna who has done that, right? And so Krishna felt that the nectar has come, I should taste it, what it's like. He had it, right? And when he took this nectar, Krishna's eyes went a little bit reddish. And then, basically, Mohini was feeling good factor after this inside, right? And with Lakshmi Devi together, they started walking. And that walk also spoken there, you see? That... Alasagadi. Shroni tad alasagadi mada vihvalakshi. She is a little bit intoxicated, Mohini. And walking in a way, very relaxed way, casual. And everyone feeling to create that attraction in the demon's mind. So, that is why Shubha Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, have a look at her nicely now. And that's when these verses were spoken, 17 and 18, about Mohini, what she looked like at that time after taking this nectar and deliberately trying to attract these demons and making them to listen to everything what she said to them. Tasyam Narendra Karabhuru Karabhururu Shaddugulam Shroni Tadala Sagadir Madavikvalakshi Saakujadi Kanaganubura Shinjidena Kumbhastani Kalashabani Ratha Vivesha Tam Shri Sakim Kanagakundala Charyukarnam Nasakabola Vadanam Paradevadakhyam Samviksha Sammumuhura Muhurut Medavikshanena Devasura Vigalida Stana Patigandam. So, she walked in a very, to attract them, the way she walked, right? Very slowly, and looking at both sides, And at the same time, the garlands in her neck were moving in either direction. And same way, she deliberately kept the clothes also like a see-through kind of clothes. She was wearing that, so that the mind will be absorbed in that. And similarly, the anklets and the eardrops, everything, it was so beautiful. Lakshmi Devi has no match for Mohini at that time. You'll see this. Manjiram manjuna deiva padabhajanam shreyam ityalabandham padagram. That Krishna's anklets, when they start making that sound, when Mohini walks, the demons got completely attracted by the sound of that anklets. And very slowly, walking with Lakshmi Devi, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, have a look, he says to her. He says to him, right? See that beautiful Mohana form, Mohana Rupam. Mohini is Mohana Rupam. Mohini is beautiful form. Reddish eyes and her like huge two pots, the breasts. Mohini's two breasts, like two huge pots there. And she wanted the demons to notice it in a way to seducing them, with the intention of seducing the demons, right? And the way she walked, to steal their hearts. Whose hearts? The demons' hearts, right? That is why, see, Kumbhastani Kalashabani Radha Vivesha. Shiva Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, Kumbhastani, like the two kumbham, the both the breasts. Kumbhastani Kalashabani Radha Vivesha. He walked in that way so that they get attracted to her. So, just like when you call the kalasham, the two pots, kalasham, the kumbham in the pot, in the same way. And when the demons saw that, they could not resist themselves. All their eyes were focused on Mohini to such a degree that. And she entered into the area where they were going to serve the nectar, shala. So deliberately, to seduce the demons, she was exposing her breasts to them. Breasts to them. And she was observing, are they really looking at me properly? In that way. And she entered into that area where they were serving. Tam, to that area. Shri Sakim with Lakshmi Devi. Kanaga Kundala Charyukarna Nasa Kapola Vadanam Paradevadakyam. The beautiful way she is dressed. Kanaga Kundala Charyukarna Nasa Kapola Vadanam Paradevadakyam. Her face was reflecting the eardrops on her ears. They were reflecting it because it was so beautiful. And it was so reflective that it was reflecting there. Samvichya. Sam mumuhu utspidavikshanena devasuraha vigalidastana patikandham. That she entered into them, into that area, and at that time, when they were reflecting the eardrops in her cheeks, right, and she showed that face to them, to attract them, right? What it says here? Deva parade nasa kapola vadanam paradeva dakhyam. Said, who is she? Paradeva dakhyam. First of all, Krishna changed this form to Mohini. All what Krishna did was, he had his second cloth, Uttariyam. He just covered the breast and assumed himself that I am a woman. And suddenly the form changed into Mohini's form. So, and the second cloth was a very simple cloth. Because of that, the breasts were covered, but the breasts were very visible for the demons. Deliberately, Krishna didn't wear anything properly to attract the demons. She did that. So, along with this attractive breasts, what Mohini has shown to the demons, she also had this glancing with the eyes, which they couldn't resist. And by the time when that happened, you see, samvikshya, when they saw that, sam mumuhur smida vikshanena. Smida means the smile, vikshana means that glancing. When this breast, which are hardly covered with a very light cloth, which was the uttariyam, you know what uttariyam means, the second cloth, which is a very simple cloth, with which she has covered her breast, and the smile and the glancing, all these three things together, devasura, vigalidastana patiganda, it says. So, she is not smiling in a big way, just a little smile, mandahasam, just a small way, a smile, right? So, with that, everything was finished. They've forgotten about the nectar. Forgotten about the nectar. Including the demigods have come to that stage now. Both of them worked together to get the nectar. Now neither of them were interested in the nectar. Nectar gone. They're not concerned about it. Neither the demigods nor the demons. Even though they were puffing and panting and all with their illness and old age, still this attraction of Mohini, not only it disturbed the mind of the demons, it also disturbed the mind of the demigods. So both of them now are not bothered about the nectar. All they want is to see Mohini more and more. Right? So all they wanted was Mohini, right? So, particularly the demons now, they wanted Mohini more than, and that too, the way Mohini walked with Lakshmi together, they couldn't control themselves. And Shukha Brahmashi is saying to Parikshit, have a look, he says. Look at this, he says. And so, Krishna is like that. Whatever dress he puts on, he can act properly in that way, in that dress. Doesn't matter which dress he puts on. When he put the dress of Narasimham, half man, half lion, and the roar of the sound of Narasimha Murthy, that was sufficient to frighten the demons. Isn't it? So, that is called Atahasam. Atahasam means the roar, roaring sound. Here, it is called Lasyam, Lasya Bhavam. These are all different aspects of the different emotions in our mind, what normally affect us. Lasyam, Hasyam, Viryam. Like this, there are nine rasas, which you will find, read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Talks about the different rasas. What comes in our mind. It's all coming from the soul, but they all have very powerful emotions there. So, normally for us to show everything is difficult for one person. We either have, like here, you can see Mohini was showing that Lasya Bhava, a kind of carefree nature, attracting the demons towards her. Some people have got Krura, cruel nature, isn't it? Some others have got Saumya, very peaceful nature. So, Krishna is capable of showing any emotions, any of these, anytime, anywhere. That's why when Narasimham came, Krishna was the best lion in the world, the roaring sound. And here, when he took this Mohini form, the most beautiful, most attractive, that Lasya Bhava of Mohini Murthy. In the 10th canto, it's spoken about Krishna like that, about this, right? Normally there is Navarasam, 9 kinds of emotions, but there was a 10th one which Krishna exhibited in the when Kamsa was killed. When Krishna walked in with Balaram and together, after Kamsa was killed, when they entered into the arena, the way Krishna entered, there is a verse spoken about that. So after killing this Kuvalayapidam, the elephant, he entered into the arena where he had to fight with Chanura and Mushtiya, right? So if you look at that verse in the 43, chapter 43, this verse is there in the Garga Bhagavadam as well. Garga Bhagavadam. Vedavyasa Maharshi has taken this verse from Garga Bhagavadam and put it into Srimad Bhagavadam. That's where it's coming from. 47. 43. Mallanam Ashanirndranam Naravarastrinam. Smaro Murtiman 17. Mallanam Ashanirndranam Naravarastrinam Smaro Murtiman. Gobanam Sajano Sadam Shidibujam Shasta Swabitro Shishu Mrityur Bhojavadir Virada Vidusham Tatvam Param Yoginam Vrishninam Paradeva De Dididido Rangam Gadasagrajaha. It's a famous verse in the sense that Mallanam Ashanirunranam, when Krishna entered, Chanura and Mushtiya thought that the like a lightning for them, the death has come in the form of Krishna and Balaram. Chanura and Mushtiya thought like that. Mallanam Ashanirunranam Naravara, for the ordinary people there, they saw them as the best of among men. That's how they saw. You see, Krishna and Balaram is entering the arena where Chanura and Mushtiya is ready to fight. But everyone there saw Krishna and Balaram in different way. That is the potency of that verse. How this happened? Krishna has created this feeling in everyone's heart differently. And Srinam Smaro Murtiman, for the women who are present there, that attractive form of Krishna, the beauty, both of them. Gopanam Sujano Asadam Shidibujam, for the cowherd men who have come from Gokulam and Vrindavanam, they had come to Mathura to watch this big festival, what Kamsa has organized. And they felt, Krishna and Balaram is one of us. Gopanam Sojanam Asadam Chidibujam Shasta Sobitro Shishu. All, there was a lot of other kings whom Kamsa has invited. All of them, they were like Kamsa, his associates, right? For them they felt that somebody has come to chastise us. Then, Sobitro Shishu, Vasudevan Devaki and Nandamaharaj and Vasudevan Devaki felt their child has come. Mrityur Bhojapate, for Kamsa, death has come, he felt. This is the feeling everybody got at that time. Even though Krishna and Balaram entered the arena, different people experienced Krishna and Balaram differently. You see? That's important to know this. Krishna entered into the arena. It's not like us. Krishna's presence there, how he changed everyone who were present there. They all experienced differently. Mrityur Bhojabadeer. And what else happened? Death personified for Kamsa. Virada Vidusham Tattvam Param Yoginam. That Virada Vidusham, for the ignorant people, they didn't understand who he was. And tattvam param yoginam, rishis who were present there, for them, it was the absolute truth has come. Then, vrishninam paradevadedi, for the Yadavas, Vrishni, for them it was paradevada. Paradevada means that from the Vedic system, in the ancient times, every family or every village will have a paradevada. They will know that who they are, and they will have a relationship with their paradevada, worshipable form. It could be any form what they had. So Vrishni felt that their paradevada has come there. And in this way, Rangam Gada Sagraja, Krishna entered with Balaram into the arena in that way. That's what it is saying there. So, different people experienced differently, right? 10 different ways Krishna has shown. Here, in the 10th one is the Bhakti Rasam also, Krishna included in that. Paradevadakyam Samvikshanam Mamuhu. Here it says that Paradevadakyam Samvikshasam Mamuhuru Smita Vikshanena. That means Krishna's Kadaksham. Kadaksham means this glancing. And Susmidena, that smile, beautiful smile. The glancing with the eye and smiling with the teeth. Kadaksham and Susmidam, these two things. It is discussed in the Bhagavatam in several places. This one Kadaksham only discussed, right? Gopis saw that Anurakta Kadaksha Moksham, it says, in the Venu Gita, in the 10th canto. You will see there. If Krishna looks at someone, that's enough. He is liberated. Anurakta Kadaksha Moksham. Gopi said this about Krishna. Once you have experienced that look of Krishna, that is why everyone in the Mahabharata war got liberated. Because Krishna glanced at them. That was sufficient. Everybody was liberated. So gopis are saying there, this is the one has to have the good fortune to see Krishna that way. And look at Krishna's eyes, Anurakta Kadaksha Moksham, it says. That means a kadaksham, a glancing that gives liberation, moksham. Right? And that is what Mohini is giving in large quantity to the demons here. Because she is looking at them. To each and every one of them, she is looking at them. So that was their good fortune. Whose good fortune? The demons. Mahabali and his people. Right. And added to that glancing, a smile. Added to that, extra. Right. With these two things together, the glance and the smile together, Krishna gave both to the demons, right? Look at their good fortune, says Yuga Brahmarshi. That Mohini's form, opportunity to see Mohini, and to enjoy, looking for having this nectar being going to be served by Mohini, and this glancing, as well as a smile, all together. Actually, everything only one person had altogether, that is Lord Shiva, who had it, right? So Krishna is saying, become like Mahadeva, follow him, he says. Practically what it's saying there is, only when all our desires go away from inside, only such a person will get the purification inside or purity inside to see Krishna properly. Mahadeva is called one who killed Kamari, he is called, isn't it? So Kamadeva was killed by Lord Shiva, right? And burned him into ashes. In Lakshmi Devi's marriage, at that time, he was the most beautiful person there, Kamadeva. He was also present there. And Lakshmi Devi comes to him also. And normally, Kamadeva is considered to have five faces, spoken in a poetic way, the five arrows coming from Kamadeva. You will see in Markandeya's case also that Mandamaruta, the breeze, and the Apsaras women, that's all a part of that package of Kamadeva who comes together. Right. And everyone normally get captivated by that beauty of Kamadeva. But Lakshmi Devi thought, rejected him at that point. So, he says that samvikshyam sammumuhuruspidavikshanena deva asura vigalida stanapattikandam asuranam sudhadanam. 19th verse. Sarpanam ivadurnayam matva jadnrsham sanam nadam vibhaja achyudaha. Mohini is thinking at this time, should I give nectar to her, them, to these demons? That's what is going through her mind. She is thinking like that, right? Krishna, when we say Krishna has two wives here, means Lakshmi and Bhumi Devi. That's Krishna's wives, isn't it? Mahavishnu's wife there. Shri, Dhara, Shilishta Parsham. On both sides, Mahavishnu, wherever Mahavishnu's form is worshipped, you will find as Mahalakshmi and Bhumi Devi both as wives present there. So, smaram smaram sugriha charidam. Here, one of these two wives, Lakshmi, is always unstable. Isn't it? Unstable. In sense, chapala. Lakshmi's nature is like that. She, by very nature itself, is Lakshmi won't stay with anybody permanently. She may stay sometime with one generation, but the next generation you will find all gone. That's the nature of Lakshmi. And the other wife, she will never move. Who? Bhumi Devi. Nishchala Didiya. Nishchala, no movement at all. So, if it is like that, it is very difficult. One wife, always on the move. And the other wife, doesn't want to move. If you have two wives like this, then it's very difficult for the husband. Eka bhairya prakriti chabala. Nishchalaya dvitiya. Nishchalaya dvitiya. The second one, nishchala, no movement. The first bhairya, the first wife is chabala. So, that's one thing that. And then, there was one son, Pradyumna. He didn't have a body before for a long time, Pradyumna. Kamadeva was burned into ashes by Lord Shiva, he didn't have a body. And still, Kamadeva didn't have a body, but he was still capable of infiltrating into others' heart. He had the potency to do so, even though he didn't have a broad, gross body. Right? And Krishna decided to sort this out. And Krishna wanted to make this Cupid, Kamadeva, to surrender. Even though he didn't have a gross body, he was still capable of infiltrating into others' mind and disturbing their mind. So powerful he was, with all his five different arrows. So Krishna decided to make him surrender and stop this, and that pastime is Rasa dance. Rasa Leela is nothing but Krishna's control over him also, who's over whom? Over Kamadeva, isn't it? Bhagavan Abhiduratri Sharadol Pullamalliya Vichirendam Vedachakre Yogamaya Upashriraha. You will see in the first few verses in the 29th chapter, in the 10th canto. Krishna is trying to control this Kamadeva completely, right? And Kamadeva is trying to show all his strength in controlling Krishna. And finally he surrendered. He had no choice, right? He realized that in front of Krishna he is nothing. So success over Kamadeva is this pastime of Rasa Leela. In the Bhagavadam, this Rasa Panchadhyayi, the five chapters, 29 to 33, these five chapters is called Rasa Panchadhyayi. These five chapters, of all the forces in this material nature, the most difficult one to get control over is this kama, lusty desires. And Krishna is showing through this Rasa Leela how much control over that Krishna had. So, here, in the Rasa dance, Krishna won over Kamadeva, right? And here now we are, what you are going to see later, how Lord Shiva is going to win over Kamadeva. He has not won yet. It's going to happen. He has destroyed Kamadeva, but Kamadeva has attacked Lord Shiva again, and then Lord Shiva comes out of that, right? So, when Lord Shiva succeeded, when the kamam came, desires came inside, attraction for Mohini, because Shiva was able to direct it towards Mohini, who is Krishna himself, therefore, it did not create any problem for Shiva. And here, these demons, they were able to see this beautiful form of Mohini and enjoy it, and they are sitting there on the kusha grass, on the darbha grass, ready to consume the nectar going to be served by Mohini, right? So when Mohini entered there with Lakshmi Devi together, showing different emotions in the face, and when they were attacked by the glancing of Mohini Murthy, their situation is spoken there. Deva Asura Vigalida Stana Patigandam. That's that line about that. They have completely forgotten Piyusha Kumbham Panimrajya, that they have did not bother about the pot of nectar. Instead, they were completely wanted to have Mohini with her, the two breasts. That's where they're all there. See there? Devasura Vigalida Stanapatiganda. They were attracted by her breasts and they wanted her more than the nectar. More than the nectar. So, Krishna also is playing the role very nicely to attract them, right? And the color of the body, Mohini is, Shyama, that color, and the age also, 16, 17 years age also, and she is not a child anymore, the childishness nature has gone, but she hasn't completely grown up as well. So, in that state of a girl's life, sometimes you can see that's the most dangerous age also for the girls, isn't it? Sometimes it happens in India, often this happens. I don't know about here so much, but the parents bring up the girls, and one day she writes a letter to the parent. I'm going with this person. Gone. Left the whole problem to the father and the mother to sort this out. And then she has gone with somebody, because that age is like that. If you look, there is a statement about this. When in a girl's body Gandharva enters at a particular stage and makes that body beautiful, and that attraction for the body, it's an arrangement for the material nature to make the girl's body beautiful at a particular age in life. When Gandharva enters into their body, and that is the time that Gandharva's mood comes into their mind, and they get disturbed over that. Paramacharya writes about this in the Voice of God. You can read about that. This is how that happens in the girl's body. So here, Krishna is like that at that stage now, in the Mohini form, right? So, Krishna is behaving like that, like a girl in whose body Gandharvas have entered in such a way. And so beautiful, because the way Krishna has, after all, where does Gandharvas get the beauty from? It comes from Krishna, isn't it? Wherever this bliss attitude, the bliss out of the Satta Chitta Anandam, that Anandam or bliss is Krishna's property, that is. Wherever Krishna puts that in, it becomes beautiful. When we find beauty anywhere in this world, you can take it that that beauty is coming from Krishna. Krishna has put that beauty into that object. Mountains, rivers, and all kinds of beauty, forests, all sorts of things. Even individuals, when you find beauty somewhere in someone, you can take it that Krishna has put that beauty into that body. But beauty is not her beauty, it is Krishna's beauty that is coming through that form. So, here, that beautiful form Mohini has shown, actually Krishna hasn't brought any expensive clothes or anything. Only thing is that cloth he had on his shoulder before, he has put it like a sari covering the breast. That's all he has done, nothing else, right? Added to that, the glance and the smile, that was sufficient. And the conversation, above all, right? So, even with one of them, people will fall for it. What to talk about when all the three are there, right? If all three comes together, that means the glance, the smile, and the sweet words. That comes from that form, right? In the Bhagavatam, in several places you will find this. Krishna's glancing power. Ichaya amrutavarshinya, it says. That when Kaliya killed, they came and drank the water from the Kalindi river, which was poisonous. All the cowherd boys dropped dead, and they were lying there in the sand, in the beach, right? So Krishna understood that they were all dead. He just glanced at them, they all came back to life. Ichaya amrutavarshinya, that ichanam, that Krishna's glancing, power of that glancing, right? Amrutavarshini, it says. Amrutavarshinya, ichaya amrutavarshinya. Amrita means nectar. It brings life back again. So, not looking, just like a heavy rain, it comes and brings the people back to life, right? So, in several places in the Bhagavatam, you will see this. Only very fortunate people will get that vision of Krishna. Krishna's vision, right? So, therefore, you can see when Krishna's vision comes, it changes the whole situation. And here, Mohini Murti is freely distributing that vision to everybody there, right? You can also see this, that once you see Mohini's situation, you cannot even talk about it, right? Sri Shiva Brahmarshi, if you notice in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vasudeva got married to Devaki Devi, There is not much detail spoken in the marriage. Did you notice that? Normally, it's a big marriage, isn't it? Vasudeva and Devaki, it's a big occasion. But not much is spoken in the Bhagavatam of the marriage between Vasudeva and Devaki, right? Because the difficulty is that Vasudeva and Devaki happen to be the parents, Krishna's father and mother. And Sri Shuka Brahmarshi knew very well that if he wants to discuss or explain that marriage of Devaki to Vasudeva, it will take ages for him to talk about it. Therefore, he decided not to speak about it. This is the opinion of the devotees. Because normally you would have expected a marriage like that, like in the Ramayanam, when Ramachandra married Sita Devi, so much discussion about it. But Krishna's, here, Vasudeva's marriage to Devaki Devi has not been even spoken about it. Like we have this solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty, isn't it? Now, lunar dynasty is known very well because of Krishna's appearance in that. Similarly, solar dynasty is well known due to Ramachandra's appearance. The two major dynasties, solar and the lunar dynasty, from where all other dynasties had come in this world. So, Krishna says this also in the Bhagavatam, that this is in the solar dynasty, for example, it is called in the Shastric circles, those who have studied Shastram, that dynasty is not known in the name of Ramachandra. It's known as Raghuvamsham. Why? Why is that? Normally Ramachandra appeared in that dynasty, but he is not addressed as the family, that lineage, solar dynasty, is addressed as Raghuvamsham. Raghu is more prominent than Ramachandra in that dynasty. Why Raghu is prominent? That also we should understand. There was a famous king there called Dilip before Ramachandra's time. Like Dasharatha had no children, and then he had to perform Putragameshti and all that to have children, and that's how Ramachandra came. Similarly, Dilip had no children. Dilip had no children. So therefore, Dilip asked Vasishtha, what should I do? Vasishtha told Dilip that I will send this cow, Nandini, with you. Take this cow and look after this cow. She is Kamadhenu, capable of, if you serve her properly, your desires will get fulfilled one day. Saying that, Vasishtha handed over Nandini to Dilip. So Dilip gave up all other duty and started looking after Nandini in the Himalaya valleys, mountain valleys. He was looking after her. One day, suddenly, from the forest, a tiger jumped on top of the Nandini cow, and she was crying for protection. And Dilip, not knowing what to do, suddenly pulled the sword out and wanted to kill Nandini, but he couldn't lift the hand even. And then he couldn't lift the hand. And then so Dilip ultimately says to the tiger, I will offer myself to you. Eat me, don't eat the Nandini, the cow. So when this happened, Nandini suddenly showed to Dilip, she has used Maya to test how much Dilip is serious in his service. So she blessed Dilip at that time, because this tiger was nothing but power of Maya, which Nandini has exhibited to show to Dilip, to see how much Dilip is willing to surrender. So when she saw that, Dilip was even willing, that selfishness was not there. He was willing to give himself, his own life up to look after the cow Nandini. Nandini felt very pleased with Dilip and blessed him with to have a good son. And that son is Raghu. And that history of Raghu is so important in the solar dynasty, the whole lineage came to know as Raghuvamsham. Kalidas also wrote a famous book called Raghuvamsham. And Raghu's dynasty it's called, even though Ramachandra appeared in that dynasty. So, here, that only Krishna's mercy is required for that. So, Mohini is going to serve the nectar now. That's the next chapter, right? Krishna is ready there to distribute the nectar. But only thing is, Bhagavatam is asking him this question, are you ready to enjoy the nectar? Like Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is willing to release the nectar of Bhagavatam, but whether are we ready to receive Bhagavatam properly, right? That's why you will see in the Padmapuranam, Bhagavatam is compared to a nectar. The demigods came to Lord to Shukabrahmarshi with a pot of nectar. And they said to Lord Shukabrahmarshi, give Bhagavatam to us, we will give this nectar to you. It's there in the Padmapuranam Mahalmyam, Bhagavatam Mahalmyam. So at that time, what did Shukabrahmarshi say to them? He says to them, I'm not giving you Bhagavatam. Why? You're not qualified to hear Bhagavatam. That's what he said to them. So the demigods asked him, why? You still have that business mentality, he said. You are still that Vaishya nature in you. You are not ready. Because you want to give me this, you are trying to tempt me with your nectar, and in return you want Bhagavatam from me, don't you? I'm not giving it, he said. So he sent them back. It's there in the Padmapuranam, if you read in the first chapter itself, how the demigods came to take Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukabrahmarshi. Shukabrahmarshi says, Parikshit is more qualified to receive Bhagavatam. Why? Parikshit didn't have a business-like nature. Krishna doesn't like that. All the rishis don't like it when you start being business-like with them. So, he says, in exchange, it says, who the demigod said, in exchange, we'll give you, they thought that, so, Shukabrahmarshi says to them, who wants your nectar, he said. To them, who wants your nectar? Get away, get lost, he said. Told them to go. And that's what he did. So here also, why that is spoken there is that even in the heavenly planets, this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam is not available. Right? Because people who have gone to heavenly planets, who are they? They've gone from here, from this world. They performed great, great sacrifices. And finally, after engaging in a lot of sacrifices, like you can see, all the kings performed the sacrifices to go to the heavenly planets. And that's how they got there, right? And Bhagavatam is not giving much importance to heaven. Bhagavatam doesn't give. Bhagavatam says, what heaven? Bhagavatam says, what is there in the heaven? If you look into the fifth canto, there is a verse there, how Bhagavatam treats the heavenly planets. When we hear about Bhagavatam, and especially about the heavenly planets, people do get attracted, isn't it? But Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that there is nothing there in the heavenly planets, he says. If you look in the 24th verse, 519, 24. Na yatra vaigunta katha sudhapaka na sadhavo bhagavadas tadashrayaha na yatra yajne shamakha mahol savaha suresha logo vina vaisase vyadam. That verse. See how Bhagavatam completely throws the heavenly planets. Doesn't value at all. He says, why is that? Na yatra vaigunta katha sudhapaka. There is no discussion about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the heavenly planets. All that is there in the heavenly planets is enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Completely enjoying life, right? Then there is no devotees either in the heavenly planets. unless there is some discussion of Bhagavatam, there won't be any devotees, isn't it? So there is no Bhagavatam, there is no devotees there, right? And what else? That nasadhavo bhagavadastadashrayaha na yatra yajneshamakha mahol savaha. That there is no festivals or worship of Krishna there. And suresha logo binavaisa sevyadam. When you go into such a place where there is no Krishna consciousness, where is no devotees, where is no worship of Krishna's worship, all these things are not there, that place is not worth living, says Shukha Brahmarshi, says there in the Bhagavatam. Yes, indeed. So, that place is not a good place to live, that's what they're saying. So, even Indra's planet is not good. People who have gone there, they are saying this. They are saying this, right? To go to the heavenly planets, people will perform sacrifices in this world. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? That you can perform sacrifices here, then go into the higher planets. Remember? Tetam bhuktva sargalokam vishalam kshene punyam artyalokam vishandi. You acquire punyam, pious activities, by engaging in performing sacrifices here. Tetam bhuktva sargalokam vishalam. And then you go into the sargalokam and enjoy there. Right? So, but what we don't realize it, that it is more troublesome there. Like in many religions, they propagate this, isn't it? You can go to heavenly planets and enjoy there. And they give you a description of what all enjoyment you have there, right? And the same thing is there in Vedic literatures also. That kind of happiness, right? Because what Bhagavatam is saying is that heavenly planets is more dangerous than here. There is no Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no chanting the holy name, there is no kirtanam, and neither there is devotees there. And there is no the nectar, Bhagavatam also. And there are certain things which are there, which is not very good, they'll say. That there is nowhere you can perform any pious activities in the heavenly planets. No chanting. But you can enjoy the breeze from the Parijata tree. Right? And the Apsaras women will dance. You can watch that, dancing, right? So, actual Parijatam is Krishna. Because that Parijatam in the heavenly planets will only give you what you ask for. But this Parijatam, Krishna, can even offer you something what you have not even asked. What's that? Liberation. So, so that is why it said, in that verse also, in the same chapter, in the fifth canto, in the 19th chapter, later on, in the 28th verse, it says, see, after that, after Nayatra Vaikunda, after talking about heavenly planets and all that, at the end of that chapter says, Yadyatra na, so, 28, Sorga Sukhava Sheshitam, Sushtasya, Suktasya, Kritasya Shobhanam, Te Ajanabe Smridima Janmanasyal, Varshe Hairiyad Vajadam Sham Tanoti. He is saying that in our whatever sacrifices we have performed and the chanting what we have done, Suktam, and after enjoying this Surgam, heavenly planets, if there is any pious activities, results are left out still, please give us a birth in Ajanabham. Ajanabham is presently called as Bharatavarsham. At that time it's called Ajanabham. There, give us a life with remembrance of Krishna, with Krishna consciousness. Because this is the better birth than anything else, says in the Srimad Bhagavatam also.
Right.
So, why it is said like that is, Krishna has given us a human body, which is also a very, very rare thing.
Right.
8.4 million species, and out of that this human form is a very rare thing. Durlabho manusho deham dehinam kshanabanguram.
Right.
And this human body also, it's not guaranteed that it will remain for a certain period of time. Nobody knows when this will go. No matter who it is, you may be anybody in this world, any moment the body can go. It can get sick or it can become useless, right? So, first thing, human form is rare, and in that human form also, that the mind to engage in Krishna consciousness and also some desire to please Krishna, that also doesn't come very easily. And when it comes, if you don't use it for that purpose, if we waste our lifetime in doing all other kind of rubbish things, Bhagavatam is saying that take this Srimad Bhagavatam and you can consume this Bhagavatam, the nectar of the Bhagavatam, and along with that, Mohini is distributing this nectar in the Bhagavatam. Actually, both are nectar. The Mohini distributing one nectar, what has come from the milk ocean. But more important than that is this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? And that is why it mentioned in the beginning itself, Pipada, Bhagavatam rasam alayam, Muhuraho rasiga bhuvi bhavugaha, isn't it? So, Krishna has given us an opportunity to drink this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, arranged everything, Krishna's form, Swarupam also, and Krishna is standing there with this nectar to serve, right? And look at that verse. Tam Shrim Sakim Kanaka Kundala Charu Karna Nasa Kapola Vadanam Paradeva Dakyam Sam Vichasam Muhuruda Muhuruda Smila Vichanena Deva Asura Vigalidastana Patti Gandam. So, demigods and the demons, they kept looking at her form and Krishna's smile and her glance, everything. And most of them have completely dissolved in that form, right? So, both the demigods and the demons, they were attracted by the Mohini. What Bhagavatam is saying to us, just like the demigods and the demons got attracted to Krishna's form, in the same way, Bhagavatam is telling us also to get attracted by Krishna's beauty, Krishna's form, right? So, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear Krishna's flute, the sound of the flute, Venugiram, what is spoken in the 10th canto, there it shows gopis have reached that stage, complete absorption in Krishna. That Venugiram is all about the beautiful playing of Krishna's flute and hearing that sound of the flute, totally getting absorbed in Krishna's form. Right? You could see there, after hearing that flute, they gave up their whole attachment. It went away from their heart, right? Those gopis who were looking after their husbands, they left. Left the husbands and walked away from there. Who were looking after their children, they left them and walked away from there. And those who were decorating themselves, they stopped their decorating the body and went for the rasa dance. Right? So you can see every karmam that they were doing, looking after the husbands, looking after the children, household duties, and then also their own bodily beautifying their body, decoration and all, everything they gave up and went to see Krishna. Right? So this is the way to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything should go from the mind first. We have to empty the mind first with all other thoughts. Job, home, bank balance, enjoying social life, all other things one has to take away from the mind before hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So practically what it means is one should be able to forget oneself before getting absorbed in the Bhagavatam. And in their heart, like the gopis had, there was only Krishna in their heart, nothing else, right? So that is why, and then Krishna is trying to serve the nectar. Asuranam sudhadanam sarpanam ivadurnayam matu ajadinrasham sanam nadam vyabhijadachyudaha. Then Krishna decided that giving this nectar to these demons is like giving this nectar to the snakes. Krishna decided to the snakes, because snake is like that. You give nice milk to the snake will bite your hand. You give the snake some milk and milk will snake will bite your hand, right? So that is why, if you remember, when Lord Narasimha, when Brahma came, after Narasimurti appeared, and Hiranyakashipu was killed, and then Brahma was standing there, because he is the one who gave all the blessing to this Hiranyakashipu. So Narasimurti says to him, that in future when you give any blessing to the demons, be a bit careful. Think about it before you give it to them. He warned him there. Who? Narasimham. Narasimham warned Brahma there. If you look into the seventh canto, and that's exactly what here also you'll see. Before giving anything to the demons, be a bit careful before you do that. If you look into the seventh canto, sometimes in the Bhagavatam you will find similar situations in different places. Here also he is saying the same thing, and in the seventh canto, in the tenth chapter, verse 30. Narasimha Uvaja, 7:10:30. 7:10:30. Narasimha, maivam varo asuranam te pradeya palma sambhava. It says, in future, never give this kind of boon or blessing to the demons, he says. Vara krura nisarganam ahinam amurdam yada. If you give them any blessing, it is like giving the milk to the snake. Asuric nature. Krishna knew this very. So Mohini, see how careful Krishna is. Krishna is always careful. Whereas Lord Shiva gives freely and then gets into trouble himself. You will see that also in the Bhagavatam. Krishna will only give anything to anyone provided Krishna knows that that person will not get into trouble. Very careful before giving anything. So Brahma thought that Hiranyakashipu has performed so much penances, and he thought, I should give him something because he has performed and pleased Brahma with the penances, right? But one should not give to people. Only knowing the recipient, one should give the mercy to somebody, right? Only when you take the shelter of a good teacher, one will know that. And in the next story, which is Mahabali's story, you will find that Krishna decided to give that mercy to the same people. Here, Mohini decided not to give the nectar. But in the next episode, Krishna decided to give them that mercy. And that time, with the mercy of Shukracharya, they were able to receive that mercy from Krishna. So, because in that story, the next thing, what do you find there is, Mahabali, acted so nicely and took complete shelter of Shukracharya. That was his success. That is what he's teaching us. That if you have taken proper shelter from a proper authority, that shelter will work. it will have its benefit. Mahabali was so surrendered to Shukracharya. Shukracharya was so pleased with him by Mahabali's surrender. So at that point, you can see that benefit, the result of that was Shukracharya was able to give Vamanamurti's mercy to Mahabali. That you can notice there. Here that is a different story. Here Krishna says, these people, Mahabali and this gang, this group, they have such vasana inside. If we give them this nectar, they will act in a wrong way. Therefore, Krishna decided that it is like giving the milk to the snake. But when the same Mahabali, after the churning of the milk ocean, Devasura Sangramam, that means the battle between demigods and the demons, all that happened, and Mahabali got some higher understanding from that. In the Bhagavatam, you will see there, Loka Tattva Vijakshana. Mahabali's intelligence, he was an intelligent person, Mahabali. He understood that by one's own work and effort, you cannot succeed in this world. He came to this understanding, Mahabali. He came to the understanding that by my own effort, I am not going to succeed here. Because he was beaten very badly by the demigods. But even though beaten, Mahabali didn't give up. He knew that, Mahabali said, I'll be back. Because you have achieved this success because you followed the proper route. I will also do the same thing. And that is why, as soon as he finished this, he goes and pleases Shukracharya, his teacher. And pleased Shukracharya so much that Shukracharya blessed him with all the mercy he could offer. And that is how he received that blessing from, in the form of Vamanamurti came and Vamanadeva gave to Mahabali everything, right? So these things you will find in the Bhagavatam from different stories, you can understand how important it is. Sudama says to Krishna, isn't it? That time Krishna says to Sudama, Guror anugrahenaiva puman purna prashandaye. Unless there is a mercy of a spiritual master or a great devotee, you cannot be successful in spiritual life. It's not possible. Guror anugrahenaiva puman purna prashandaye. That purnada, that means perfection will only come when there is spiritual master's mercy. Or that is also again Krishna's mercy. To have that mercy from the spiritual master. So, that ashrayam, what you find there, that you will find in the next one. Even though, because they saw this Mohini's form, and even though temporarily they didn't get the nectar, The demons didn't get it. Krishna didn't give it to them. Mohini didn't give it to them. But Krishna decided to give them that mercy later, which comes in the next episode in the 8th canto. So, normally, Krishna's point is, these asuras, they're very cruel people. Very cruel to each other and to others also. So, if you give this nectar to them, they will cause havoc in this world, right? So, Krishna knew this very well, knowing their cruel nature, right? So, So Krishna thought, and that is what that verse is saying there, you see. Asuranam sudadhanam sarpanam iva durnayam matva jadi nrshamsanam natam vivajad achyuda. Krishna is, everything what Krishna does, Mohini does, Mohini will give you a logic behind it. Why he has done, why she did do that, why she did like that. Here she is saying that asuranam sudadhanam, for asuras if I give this sudha, this nectar to them. Sarpanam iva durnayam. It's like giving the nectar to the snakes. Matva jadi nrshamsanam nadam vyabhijat achyuda. That Krishna, who is conscious of all these things, did not give it to them because of that. Right? So, so imagine this whole conversation between Mohini and the demons. In the earlier chapter, you must not forget those things, otherwise you won't enjoy this conversation. In the earlier in this chapter itself, if you look there, in the seventh verse, Vayam Kashyapa Dayada Bradara Krita Paurushaha Vibhajasa Yadha Nyayam Neiva Bhedo Yadha Bhavet. So this Vibhajasa Yadha Nyayam Neiva Bhedo Yadha Bhavet. Yadha Nyayam means according to, they told her, Mohini, that you should do it in a very justified way. You should be just in what you are doing. Unjustly you should not do it. You should look at everyone and who deserve to them, you should give it, isn't it? That's right. That means without any Veda Buddhi, right? So their argument was, demon's argument was, that both of us have worked hard, the demons and the demigods, right? And therefore, without any Veda Buddhi, you should give it to us, right? Yadha Nyayam, that's the word. And Mohini caught on that word itself. So, her logic is, she's saying, her logic is that not to give it to the demons, right? She's saying giving it to the demigods is logical. Is logical. What is the logic? Because they have already said that Yadha Nyayam. So the Nyayam is, he's saying, Sarpa Naam Yo Durnayam. That Shastram says that you should not give nectar, milk, all these things to the serpents. I'm following the Shastram, says Mohini. I'm just following the Shastram. You have told me to follow Yadha Nyayam, and according to the Nyayam, I'm doing that. Sarpanam Iva Durnayam, he says. And therefore, I'm not giving it to you. That is her logic, Mohini's logic, right? And that too, by birth itself, you are demoniac, you say, like the snakes. Snake is, that snake's nature is birth itself. It's there in the snake, isn't it? That body, once you get that snake's body, suppose imagine a snake's body. In that snake's body, you will be like a snake because the body demands that, the nature of the snake. Who said this? Kaliya said this to Krishna. What can I do? He said, you have given me this body, and the nature of body is like this, to bite. Even if you are good to me, I will kill you. This is my nature, because you gave me this nature, it's not my own. So Krishna didn't say anything to Kaliya. So the same thing here also, that he's saying here, it is not due to your karmam you are like that, nor due to your nature, but it is due to your body, right? That means by birth itself, you are like this. So Asuras, that race itself, by birth, very nature of Asuric race is cruel. Cruel to each other, right? That's the word itself means that, isn't it? Asura means what? One who enjoys their senses. They are Asuras. It's not human species, right? Asuric nature is to enjoy the senses. So anyone who has that propensity strongly inside is an asura, no matter who it is. So asura means, the word is coming from, sura means the one who is asu. Asu means in the sense pranam. And one who is enjoying in that, or uses all energy for sense gratification, he is called asura. Anybody. So, in our own mind, there is both these both tendencies in us, in human body. Asuric nature, divine nature, and the demonic nature. Asuric subhavam, devika subhavam, right? And both of them are inside us, right? So, In order to enjoy the nectar, we have to become the Deva, not Asura. The nectar is the Krishna consciousness. To enjoy that, you have to be like a demigod, right? So, the demons, they were attracted by Varuni, sense gratification, and went after that. So, what you have got by birth, what has come with us, that is difficult to take it away from inside. Just like they say, it's something similar to the tail of the dog. Tail of the dog is always bent, isn't it? Even if you put a big pipe and put the tail through that for few years and take the pipe off, the tail will go back again to its old position. So that is due to the way the body is created for the dog, right? So that is what is called what comes from the birth, what we bring with us from the birth itself, right? I can see certain habits with the dog. You put the water in a pot and put in front of the dog, dog will lick it, the water, with the tongue and drink the water. That's how he will drink. Have you noticed the dog, how it drinks the water? It will lick the water and drink anything. Cats with the milk in the same way. We don't lick it, isn't it? We drink the water, but they will lick it, and that's how they drink. So he's saying here, this asuric nature and the divine nature, both the divine and demonic nature, they are both inside us. Inside us, right? What Bhagavatam is saying is, try to come towards this divine nature. Develop that side of the life in us, right? So, he's saying here that the... Matva jadi nrishamsanam nadam vyabhajad achyuda, he's saying. Yadam vyabhajad achyuda. He's saying here that not giving the nectar to the demons, asuras, is the right thing. Krishna decided like that. Mohini decided like that. Because earlier, yadha nyayam, they said. So Krishna used the same logic, Mohini, and says the real logic is that asuras should not be given. I'm doing according to the nyayam, he said. Because if I give this to you, you will destroy the whole place because of your nature, right? So he told them to sit together, both demons and the demigods in two lines, right? Told them to turn towards the eastern side. And on the Darbhagras. And actually, Krishna has already decided not to give them anything. Look at the next verse. Kalpayitva pratak panti ubhayesham jagalpadi tamstoba veshayamasa sveshu sveshu cha panktishu. Verse 20, right? He made them to sit like that. And after telling them to sit, they're all sitting there. They're still looking at her. And she walked up and down in the middle, backwards and forwards a few times, just to see what's the impact on the demons and the demigods, right? And she's thinking, at the same time she is scheming inside, what should I do with these people, right? She wants to give it to the demigods. She doesn't want to give it to the demons, right? And the way she was walking, both of them are looking at her. It gave the impression that she is thinking to whom she should serve first. That gave the impression, right? So one side Indra is sitting there with all the demigods. And they are all coughing and, because they have lost their health. Poor Indra and poor demigods, they have no energy. Durvasa put them in a very awkward situation and they have to get this nectar to get their health back. Otherwise, they'll be in serious trouble. So, and on the other side, Mahabali is sitting there with full strength full youth and all the demons, and they are looking at these demigods on the other side who is coughing and coughing all the time. You know how it is like. And Daityan, next verse. Grihida Kalasho, Vanjayan Nubasanchare, Durasan, Payaya Masa, Jara, Mrityu, Haram, Sudham. Then here Krishna decided that if they take this nectar, the demigods will get their health back, the strength back, right? If they take it, they will save themselves. So he was walking in between the two rows, and he wanted to serve from the opposite end, backwards, right? And he was going to the other end to start serving from the other side. And at that time also, Mohini is still looking at the demons. The asuras were not bothered about the nectar. They were looking at her. Her glance and her smile, they have fallen into that, right? Plus, a few words she spoke in between. With that, they are finished, right? So she started serving the demigods first from the other end. And this whole Mahabali and these men kept quiet. Because earlier she said everything to them. If you say one word about my service, I will stop serving. So everything she has got it in writing from them. And Mahabali, so some demons noticed this. Why is she going there and serving first to them, not to us? Mahabali says to them, keep quiet, because we don't want to upset her. This is the mood. Mahabali and all others listen to Mahabali. Mahabali is a very intelligent person, right? So they thought, after serving all that, she will come this side to serve us, right? So maybe that's why she has gone to the other end to start from there. And they are not able to say one word to her. Imagine the situation. They are not able to speak anything to her. And they wanted to enjoy the nectar, but in the influence of this beauty and the smile and the speech and the glance and the little conversation, everything together, they are completely captivated by that and not able to say anything to her. They are just enjoying her association in that way. So what happened at that time? You can see there that... That 21st, Daityan Grihida Kalasho, Vanjayan Nupasanchari, Durasthan, Payamasa, Jara Mrityuhara, Sudham. And Krishna decided, I will serve the demigods first. Te Palayanda Samayam, Asura Sukhadam Rupa, Tushni Masan Kradasneha, Stri Vivada Jugupsaya. Shukam Brahmarshi has used certain words there. Stri Vivada Jugupsaya. You see? Stri Vivada Jugupsaya, he says there. Parikshit Maharaj, he says to Parikshit, Shubramashi is saying, look where he is going to start serving the nectar, right? And these people are not able to say one word to her. And because they have told her previously, whatever you do, it's acceptable to us. She told them, I'm not good at all these things. You shouldn't trust women. And we are untrustworthy. And don't expect any reasoning from us. We are not reasonable people. Everything Mohini has told them. And you are not even educated. Although you are Kashyapa Prajapati's children, you don't have any intelligence that you are handing over this pot of nectar to me. In spite of saying all these things, Mahabali and his men said, we are happy that if you serve us this nectar. To such an extent, she has got the grip on them, on their mind. Who? Mohini. Mohini, right? So therefore, whatever she was doing now, The demons couldn't say one word. They just kept quiet. And Shuga Brahmarshi says there, why they could not speak? Why? Stri vivada jugupsaya. That is the important word there. Stri vivada jugupsaya. There is a saying in the Shastram, you shouldn't get in argument with women. Women can blast you to such an extent. Stri vivada jugupsaya. You have to know how to move away from that situation. Sri Vivada Jugupsaya. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying to us this. That arguing, Sri Vivada Jugupsaya, it's an important statement in the, like sometimes Shuka Brahmarshi, he doesn't care no matter who it is. Like he said about Ramachandra, isn't it? What did he say? He said, if you get attached, even if it's Ramachandra, you have to suffer. Did he not? In the ninth canto, he says, Srinam, Sri Sanginam Sangam, Sri Sanginam Gadimiti, Pradhayam Chachara. Ramachandra says this. If you get attached, you will have to suffer. Sri Sanginam Gadimiti, Pradhayam Chachara. Because unfortunately, Maya has created all of us in this situation. Man or woman, doesn't matter. Woman has been given certain propensities and certain potencies in her, and in the same way the men also. Men can fall into certain situations. That's unavoidable. And Krishna says this also. If you look into the Ailagiram, he will say that Adhabi Nobasajesha Srishu Sraineshu Chathavit. Very strong, grave warning given to men. Equally applicable to women also. It's not that it's only for the men. That this attraction between man and woman, it is a very greatest obstacle in spiritual path. That's what it is saying there. Srinam, Srinam, Sri Sanginam, Sangam, Tektva, Duratama, Alpavan. If we want to progress in spiritual path, first of all we have to get out of that. There is no other way, says Krishna says this. Shuka Brahmarshi says this. Pururava says this. This attraction between man and woman has to go. And that is the, in self-realization, that is the last thing that will leave a person. All other things you may come out of it. Same thing, Kamadeva's business, isn't it? So, that's what he's saying there. So, Sri Vivada Jugupsaya says that they are looking at Mohini. Mohini is serving happily the nectar to the demigods. And Mohini is glancing, Mohini's smile, Mohini's hair, Mohini's beautiful face. And they are discussing each other about Mohini while the nectar is being served. This is what was happening, right? That the demons, the asuras, they were not talking about the nectar. They were sitting and looking at her and discussing each other about her, about Mohini, right? And at the same time, Mohini is hearing all these things that they are discussing about her. And at the same time, she was making it more and more difficult for them by her movements and by her smile and by the way she was speaking. Everything was making it more difficult for the demons to say anything to her. And she is moving along there. And inside Mohini is thinking, these Harim Sharanamayayu, these people have taken my shelter, about the demigods. She is thinking like that. And Bhagavatam is saying, more than anything else, even more than getting attracted to that form, more important than that is the surrender. Harim Sharanamayayu says about who? About the demigods. Demigods receive the nectar because they were surrendered to Krishna. Harim Sharanamayayu. Whereas the demons, they were looking at Mohini, attracted by the form. No doubt it is Krishna's form. But at the same time, Krishna gave more importance to the one who has surrendered to that. So, Bhagavatam is convincing us that ashrayam is more important than anything else in bhakti. That is why the 12th canto is ashrayam. You see, bhakti means ashrayam. Surrender and shelter, taking shelter is bhakti. To convince that point to us, in this particular instance in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even though the asuras have all their eyes focused on Mohini, who is Krishna himself, attracted to that form so well, so strongly, still Krishna's preference was the demigods to give the nectar. Why? Harim Sharanamayu. Completely taken Krishna shelter. That surrender of demigods pleased Krishna. That's what it is talked about there. So, here he's saying that they couldn't say anything, and as you can see in several places in this 8th canto, Harismriti Sarva Vibad Vimokshanam. We'll discuss it in a few minutes.
Chedodarpanamarjanam Bhamahadavagninurvabanam Shreyakkaidava Chandriyavidaranam Vidhyavadhu Jeevanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipada Purnamudaswadanam Sarvatna Subanambaram Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Tamna Magari Bahudanija Sarva Shakti Natrapidasmarana Kala Eda Drushita Vakrapa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midashamihajani Dhanuraga Tranarabi Shunijena Tarorabi Sahishtuna Amani Namanadena Kirtani Yasadahari Madhanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadishagamai Mamajanmini Janmanishwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Tuvitvai Ainam Dhanu Jagingaram Padidama Mishame Bhavam Budau Kripaya Tavapada Pangajastida Duli Sadrasham Vijindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadarubhaya Giyam Pulakair Nijidam Gadava Bhutavannama Grahane Bhavishyadi Yugayidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Shlishyava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karoduva Yadha Tadava Vidada Dilambado Malpranadha Sunayevana Para Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda. So, Krishna gave priority to the demigods. Harim Sharanamayu. They have taken his shelter. Again, Harismriti Sarva Vibad Vimokshanam. Earlier spoken like that, isn't it? So, to prove that, if you remember Krishna, Shri Hari, remembering Krishna alone, all dangers goes away in life. According to that, in that way, Krishna is walking there to give the nectar to the demigods first. And this is the consciousness of the demigods. Which one? Harismriti Sarva Vibad Vimokshanam. They have taken Krishna's shelter and depending on Krishna. What about demons? Demons were thinking about Mohini. They were thinking about Mohini. They were talking to each other. They were saying, one was saying, oh, when she came first, she showed a lot of affection for her. Now there is no affection for us. She is distributing the nectar to them first. They started talking to each other like that. And she says, they are saying to each other, she used to look at us before, now she is not looking at us anymore. They are saying, right? And now, previously she was smiling at us, now she is smiling at them, to the demigods. In this way, they were complaining. You see there, the complaint, 23. Tasyam kritadi pranaya pranaya bhayaka taraha bahumanena cha badha nochu kinjana vipriyam. That verse is that, saying, Tasyam kridadi pranaya, pranaya bhaya kataraha. Saying that, they were in love with her. They were so attracted by her,
and they loved her so much. But at the same time, they were frightened that if we say something, will our relationship break up? Will she react? If we say complained about anything. They were seeing that Mohini was distributing the nectar to all the demigods and nothing for them, but they couldn't say one word. Why? Because he says there that pranayava abhaya kataraha. If we say something, it may upset her. We don't want to upset her now. So they couldn't say one word. Pranaya abhaya kataraha. Bahumanena chabadha nojo kinjana vipriyam. That they were so respectful to her that they didn't want to say anything to her. And they controlled themselves so much that they didn't want to speak one word to her due to respect. Due to respect, they didn't want to say anything to her, right? So then they were saying like this, that these attraction for Mohini, their love for Mohini was spoken, right? Because earlier they asked her, where are you coming from? Who are you? And who had sent you here? They inquired about her when she came first time, right? If we say something, question her, she was distributing this nectar to the demigods. If we question that, she may get upset with us. We don't want that. They're saying like that, right? So, because everything through the glance, through the smile, and through conversation, Mohini has already made them to surrender to her like this. They couldn't speak one word after that. So, earlier, Mohini has told them, I may or may not give you the nectar. When earlier, she said to them, when they told her to distribute, she was telling them, why do you ask me to do it? You know you can't trust me. We are like wolves. Everything she said to them in advance, and now the situation has come that they can't say anything to her. Whatever she does, they have to live with that. And she has told them that you shouldn't speak one word when I start distributing. And only then I can do the service properly, right? And she also said to them, I'm not experienced in serving nectar and all that. I'm not used to serving properly, right? And sometimes when I serve, some people may get it, some people may not get it. Some people may get more, some people may get less. You shouldn't make any complaint when I start serving, she said to them, right? It is like that, isn't it? People who don't know how to serve prasadam, when they serve, have you noticed? They don't know how to serve. Some funny experiences you may have had, I don't know. One person, in one temple it happened. They brought the rice in a small pot, and with a teaspoon, he was serving rice to everybody. With a small teaspoon. He said, is that too much? He was asking. So, you can see when people don't have the knowledge of how to serve prasadam, every prasadam is, prasadam there may be vegetables and sweets, but you know how to serve. So you bring 20 gulab jamun to someone and say, you have all this. That's your prasadam, you have it. And give them a little rice, he won't be happy, would it? So, she's saying that, our Mohini is saying, I don't have any knowledge of serving prasadam or anything, so when I'm serving, you shouldn't make any complaint about it. She took a guarantee from them, in advance from them. So, Krishna says, I'm not used to serving, I'm only used to taking it. Devotees offer everything. Krishna says, I am used to eating, but I am not used to serving prasadam. Mohini is Krishna himself, isn't it? So, only one instance Krishna has served prasadam in the whole history. That was in Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuyam sacrifice. Krishna served that day prasadam, right? There, whom did Krishna serve the prasadam to? To the rishis, the four kumaras. They were the people who don't eat food at all. To them Krishna had to serve prasadam, right? And Krishna also decided that day that Krishna is looking at everyone in Rajasuyam while serving the prasadam, right? And he is looking for Shishuval. Where is he? It is Shishuvala he wanted to serve prasadam more than the rishis, right? So, and Krishna wanted Shishuvala to understand, there is nowhere in this world without my presence. I am everywhere. He wanted to convince that. And Shishuvala was trying very hard not to see Krishna that day, right? So, we are all struggling to see Krishna, and Shishuvala is struggling not to see Krishna. Devotees normally want to see Krishna somewhere in some form. But Shishuvala was trying not to see Krishna anywhere, right? But still, he was able to see Krishna everywhere. And that's why Shishuvala is a Mahatma, isn't it? In a very advanced stage in spiritual life, you see Krishna everywhere. Remember that verse? Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet. Bhagavatam says, Bhagavad Bhavam. Shishuvala got that stage. So who is a Mahatma? Mahatma is Shishuvala actually, isn't it? Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmanam. So, and when he went, he tried to avoid seeing Krishna. So what he did was, he went to the place where sacrifice was going on. Krishna was there. Then he thought, let me look at where all the great personalities are there. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all. When he went there, there also Krishna is there. And then he went to the kitchen where Bhima was in charge for the whole cooking side. So when he got there Krishna is there cooking with Bhima in the kitchen, right? And then reception room where he went, Arjuna was in charge there. And there Krishna was there with Arjuna. Nakula was in charge of all the storage room, where all the ingredients were stored. Nakula was in charge. When he got there, Krishna is there. Then, where the worship was going on, Sahadeva was in charge there. Krishna was there with Sahadeva also. And then finally, Shishuvala came to the rishis where they were there, thinking that there also Krishna is serving prasadam to them. Right? So, where the sacrifice was going on, there Krishna was there. Where the worship was going on, Krishna was there. Shishuvala saw Krishna everywhere. Right? In fact, Yudhishthira could not see Krishna everywhere. Shishuvala was seeing Krishna everywhere. Right? Ultimately, Shishuvala decided, there's no point in staying here. I go back to my room and lock the door and stay inside the house so that I don't have to see him, he said. And when Shishuvala looked through the window, what did Shishuvala see? All the rishis have eaten, and the plates of all the, whatever it was served, the leaf or plates, whatever it was, Krishna has made sure nobody gets any remnants from any of the rishis. So collected all their plates and the leaves together, and Krishna is carrying it to the bin, to put that in the bin. So, Shishuvala thought, this is terrible. I want to escape from him somehow. It's impossible. Right? Imagine our situation. We can't see Krishna anywhere. That's there already. Then we thinking that let's go to the temple and see Krishna there. There also we are not really seeing Krishna. We see the deity there. And we see some photographs, we see some devotees. And to our satisfaction, we are not seeing Krishna there also. Then we go to all the holy places looking for Krishna. If by chance we get to see Krishna anywhere there, right? So we chanting the holy name for what? Ultimately to see Krishna, right? We hear Srimad Bhagavatam for what? To see Krishna. Or somehow or the other to see Krishna, right? Gopi said this to Krishna. What Gopi said to Krishna? Uddhava. Gopi said to Uddhava that for us the problem is, it's difficult for us to forget Krishna. Vismartum naiva shaknuma. When Uddhava came from Mathura to talk to the gopis, Gopi said to Krishna, Vismartum naiva shaknuma. For us, our main problem is we are unable to forget Krishna. This is the situation. So they said, whenever we see Vrindavanam, whenever see Govardhanam, whenever see the cows, whenever see the Yamuna River, Kalini River, when we see these children, cowherd boys, wherever we see, every time we remember Krishna. This was Gopi's situation, right? And they are asking him, to Uddhava, is there any way we can forget Krishna? You will see that in the 47th chapter. If you look how the gopis said this to Krishna in the 10th canto. 1047. 50. 1047, 50. Punapunasmarayandi nandagopasudambada Srinigedei talpadekeir vismartum naiva shaknuma. Vismartum naiva shaknuma. Is saying that Kalindri river, Govardhanam, Sarichailavano desho, Gavo venuravaime, Sangarshana sahayena, Krishnena jarida prabho. That Kalindri river, Govardhanam, and these forests, cows, Krishna's playing flute, all of them reminds us of Krishna traveling with Balaram in the forest. And again and again, all of them reminds us of Nanda Maharaj's son. Punapuna smarayandi nandagopa sudambada Sri Nigedai. And not only that, because of Krishna's lotus feet, marking is there in all over the ground. And unable for us to forget all that. Punapuna smarayandi nandagopa sudambada Sri Nigedai talpadeke vismartam naiva shaknuma. Said like that. So, even after a lifespan of Lord Brahma, too difficult to develop the bhakti what the gopis had. That bhakti inside, right? Uddhava found out this. It's impossible to get to this state of gopis, right? Because that is why you will see that even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they offer obeisances to the gopis. For reach that state of bhakti, isn't it? So, Brahma, Shankara, Mukhanupiha, Pashupangana Subhumanayan, said like that. Brahma, Shankara, Mukhanupiha, Pashupangana Subhumanayan. Pashupangana means gopis. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Shankara, they all offer their respects to Pashupangana, to the gopis. Bhakta Loka Gamaniya Rupa Kamaniya Krishna. So Krishna's beauty. So why did they offer obeisances to gopis? Neither Brahma Lord Shiva could perform this pastime with Krishna like the way gopis could do. That was the reason. And that is why they were feeling respectful to the gopis. Even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma did not get this opportunity, right? And whatever it may be, where to get this bhakti, what the gopis had, right? So, and the opportunity to offer obeisances to the gopis, I do not have that. And saying this, Uddhava offered, not to the gopis, offered obeisances, but to whom? A dust of the feet of a gopi. Uddhava says, I am not even qualified. When Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is finding it difficult and offer their respects to gopis, I'm not even qualified to do so. He's saying in that same chapter, 47th chapter, you will see in the 61 verse what he said. Uddhava is saying, Asa maho charanarena jushamaham syam vrindavane kimabi gulmala daushadhinam Ya dustyajam swajanam aryabadam jahitva bejor mugunda badavim.
That asamaho charanadena jushamahamsyam, all I can think of, I can offer my obeisances to one dust from the feet of one gopi. That's all I can offer. He said like that, isn't it? And he said that, let me take birth in this Vrindavanam, either as a plant or a creeper, or even like a particle of dust, so that at least these gopis will walk over my body. To that extent, Uddhava felt that Uddhava's prayers to the gopis, after meeting the gopis in Vrindavanam, before he went back to Mathura to see Krishna. So while Uddhava left Mathura and came to Vrindavanam to see the gopis, Krishna told Uddhava, Uddhava, be very careful. You are meeting some personalities whom you have never met in life before. They are not like ordinary devotees. They are very, very special people. And sometimes you may not even understand them. Their bhakti is gone to such a higher level. That's what he said. That you will see that 47th chapter, what Krishna had to say about that. In the verse 61, Asamaho charanarena jushamaham syam Vrindavane kimabhi gulmala daushadhinam Ya dustyajam sajanam aryabadam jahitva bejur Mugunda padavim shudibir vimirgyam. That he says that these gopis they have given up, talking about their renunciation, isn't it? That when bhakti develops in the heart, the first thing happens to a person is vairagyam comes. That's the symptom of bhakti. When bhakti develops in the heart of a person, immediate result is vairagyam. Vairagyam comes. And that vairagyam is what happened to the gopis. They gave up all connection with this world. Husbands, not cared. Children, their own children, not bothered. And home, not cared. Didn't care for anything. Home, family, children, nothing. All left. Ya dustyajam, most difficult thing for a person to give up. Especially for women. Attachment to the home, attachment to the husband and children. That's their greatest attachment. That's what they're saying. Ya dustyajam, the most difficult thing, sojanam, gave up that. Aryapadam jahitva, and they came to Krishna's shelter, they have taken. Bejur mugunda padavim shrudibir vimargyam, means that to reach that state is not easy. Why? Because even Vedam, Shruti, is searching for Krishna. Shruti Gita will say this. Shruti Gita is also saying that we can't show you Krishna, but we can tell you about him. It may help you to find him. That's how Vedam is spoken. Bejur mugunda padavim shrudibir vimrgyam, it says. Right. And then after that, he's saying that, at least at that time, finally Uddhava says, one day, Nandavrajastrenam padarenum abhishnasha yasam harikadodgidam punadi bhuvanatrayam. It is saying this, Uddhava left. Vande Nandavrajastrenam, this gopis of Vrindavanam, he says, their songs, what they are singing, it purifies the whole creation. He says, padarenum abhishnasha yasam harikadodgidam, the harikatha, the glories they are singing about Krishna, punadi bhuvanatrayam, it purifies the whole creation. And he says that, I
offer my obeisances to the dust of the lotus feet of these gopis. Right. Saying that, Uddhava went back to Mathura, right? And while going there, he said, he was remembering about conversation with the gopis. They have said, Karmavar Brahmyamananam Yatra Kwabishare Chayam Mangala Ajaridhar Dhani Radhirna Krishna Ishware, that due to our karma, we get a body. And this body, we don't know when this will finish. First thing, this body, when it will finish. We don't know. It will go one day. And we also don't know how many bodies is in waiting for us. After this body, another body may come. And that depends on karma. That's what karma bir brahmyamananam yatra kvav ishwarechaya. According to Krishna's desire, that will carry on one after the other, one body after the other. Mangal ajaridher dhane radhirna Krishna Ishwara. Gopis are saying there that we have done something good in our life. Certain good things we may have done. Mangal ajaridher dhane. All we are asking Krishna is one thing. Radhirna Krishna Ishwara. That we have some attachment for Krishna in this life because of our association with him. That rati, that attachment, let that not leave us. This is all gopis pray to Krishna. Gopis didn't say give us liberation. Gopis has not studied any shastram. They don't even know that there is a thing called transmigration of the soul and things like that. You don't find anything in gopis prayers anywhere mentioned. All gopis are saying that somehow or the other, by our good fortune, we got attached to Krishna like this. Let this attachment don't leave us. Means, let the bhakti remain forever. That rati. That is all gopis have asked Krishna. That is why, karma bir brahmyamananam. Gopis doesn't understand what will happen after death, where we will go, what condition we will be. But they know that there is a thing called death, and after death we may have to accept another body. Karma bir brahmyamananam yatra kvav ishwarechaya. And what body you will get in your next life, that also we don't know. That's also in Krishna's hands. You could get any body in any of the 8.4 million different species. What species you will go and take birth in the next life, we don't know. There is no guarantee that you have to get a human birth again. It can be a demigod, it can be a demon as well. So gopis are saying it can be a male body, it can be a female body. It can be any of the 8.4 million different species, isn't it? That depends on karma. Karma bir brahmyamananam yatra kvav ishwarechaya. And that is decided by Krishna's decision. Material prakriti decides that. Mangal ajaridher dhane radhirna Krishna Ishwara. Saying this, that Uddhava saw all this, what gopis have way of thinking, and they are you remember this, when Krishna said this to Uddhava. Uddhava, when you see gopis, because in Uddhava's mind, Uddhava had a certain concept of a devotee. What a devotee is. Because he is a disciple of Brihaspati. Isn't it? So from Brihaspati he has learned about bhakti, a lot of things. So Uddhava's concept of bhakti is different. He has not seen devotees like this before. He has seen many other devotees, rishis and great, great personalities, kumaras and all that. That's all Uddhava knows about them. But Uddhava doesn't know about a special type of devotees like the gopis. That's why Krishna warned him prior to going to Vrindavanam. But after seeing the gopis, Uddhava realized what Krishna was talking about. So that's why those verses are important, right? So they are saying there that the songs they are singing, who gopis are singing, purifies the whole world. And Uddhava says, realized at that point that these gopis are way ahead of everybody in bhakti, way ahead of everybody. And therefore he said, all I am qualified is to worship a speck of a dust from their lotus feet. That is where I am, he said. And even Uddhava offer obeisances to the dust of a, the speck of a dust of Gopi's feet, right? So, it is this dust that Krishna wanted to cure his headache. Probably you heard that story, haven't you? Right. One instance, when Krishna felt very severe headache in Dwaraka, and at that time, Narada Maharshi is the doctor. Narada Maharshi became the, Krishna became the patient, and Narada Maharshi became the doctor. Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, "I need a very special medicine for my headache," he said. And severe headache, and so Narada Maharshi said, "I can bring Ashwini Devas here. They are the best physicians, surgeons, from the demigod surgeons." So that must mean it's not the NHS surgeons, it's from the demigod surgeons, right? "So I'll bring them here." Krishna says, "No, I don't think they can do anything," he said. So, and he said, "I want this dust from the devotee's feet," he said. So, Narada Maharshi looked everywhere. Rukmini is there, Satyabhama, so many other wives, all wives are there. Went up to them and said to them that, "Give us some dust from your feet, so that could be put on Krishna's forehead, and he'll get cured from the headache." Rukmini and others said, "How can I do that? From my feet to put some..." Because Rukmini is saying Krishna is the absolute truth, isn't it? So they refused. They said, "We can't do that. That will be a serious offense to do such a thing." Right? But Narada Maharshi said to them that Krishna is suffering heavily with the pain, headache. Unless you bring this, it won't happen, right? So, so ultimately, they were not willing to do it. So Krishna says to Narada Muni, "Go to Vrindavanam and ask the gopis." So they went there and saw the gopis. Narada Maharshi saw the gopis. And they told the gopis that Radha Devi is there and the gopis also. And Krishna is having this headache. "Can you give us some dust from your feet?" Right? Radha Devi said to him, "How much do you want?" He said, "I only very little I need," he said. And then Radha Devi took from the feet and took some dust and mixed it with some butter and gave it to him and told him, "Go and put it in," said. Radha Devi asked Narada Maharshi, "If we do that, will he get rid of the headache?" Narada Maharshi said, "Yes." And but, you know, there could be some reactions for that. Radha Devi said, "It doesn't matter. No matter what the reaction is, Krishna should be happy. That's all our..." So, this Gopi Bhavam, that is why it is Bhagavadam, Gopis are given so much importance for this. Even if we suffer in life, Krishna should be happy. That surrender of the Gopis, that's what it is saying here. That... In a similar way, you can see Prahlada spoke to Krishna, to Narasimham, also in the way. If you look, sosyastu vishyasya khalaprasidadam, that even if I am not happy, it doesn't matter. Let the whole demoniac race, the demons, show some mercy towards them. This is how Prahlada said to the, Prahlada prayed to the Narasimham in the same way, right? So gopis also same thing, that this is the only reason, the special nature of the gopis. Therefore, in Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke about devotees, who are devotees. And then he put a note there, "Yadha vraja gopi ganam," he says. A proper devotee has to be like the gopis of Vrindavanam. That is the most ideal nature of a devotee. That means they are so surrendered to Krishna, no matter what happens in life, it doesn't matter to them. Even at the cost of their own suffering, they wanted Krishna to be happy. That state of consciousness of the gopis, that is hard to find, isn't it? So that is why it is said like that. So for Sri Narada Maharshi, authority is gopis. Gopis are the authority. And gopis are not like anybody else. They are ordinary people living in Vrindavanam. They had a lot of household work to do, right? But always Krishna Rama Kathamrita, that they were always absorbed in, not forcefully. It happened to them like that. 24 hours talking about Krishna and Balaram, looking after them, playing with them, enjoying with them. In other words, in their life, there was nothing else except Balaram and Krishna. Right? So, that is why completely under Krishna and Balaram were in their control all the time. Govinda Damodara Madhavedi, it says, right? So, they are saying, when at one stage, they had to sell their products, what they are producing, like the butter, milk, cheese, everything, they had to sell every day. So while going in there, carrying the pots on their head and wandering around in Vrindavanam to sell them, they were announcing their arrival by chanting the holy name of Govinda, Damodara Madhava. It has become like that for them. Even while normally when they in the villages, it is not there anymore. Now it's all supermarket everywhere, isn't it? So in the olden days, people used to come to the village with different things to sell. Vegetables, grains, and similarly milk. All these things. People bring it to Delhi. What do they call it now? They have their system, isn't it? Door delivery. A door. Now it's too complicated. It's too complex it is. You have to order them, and you have to have a password first. Instead of having, but their password, Gobi's password was Govinda Damodara Madhavedi. They brought the things and sold them. Such a simple life, simple village people, and simple lifestyle, but completely absorbed in Krishna. So, here, so Srimad Bhagavatam, this nectar, is now here. Krishna decided to give the nectar to the demigods, right? And Krishna found the logic also, the justice in doing that. And he's saying there that it is logical not to give. Daityan grihida karasho vanjayan nubasanjare durasthan payamasa jara mrityuharam sudham te palayanda samayam asura sukradam nrupa tushnimasan kridasneha stri vivada jugupsaya, he says. That in Mohini's smile, they all fell. Right? Mohini's smile, Mohini's glancing, and they were saying, she was doing all these things to us before. She was looking at us, she was talking to us, she was glancing at us. Now she is doing everything to the demigods, not to us anymore, right? And we can't say anything to her. Therefore, they kept quiet, right? They kept quiet. Tasyam kridadi pranaya, pranaya baya kadara, bahumanena chabadha, noju kinchana vipriyam. Because they thought, if we say something, if she gets upset, that's not very good. We don't want to upset her, right? So they sat there, full of respect, waiting for her to come with the nectar, right? So they felt that you have to take notice of all these things in the Bhagavatam. Why? Priyam, to please others, we should only do that, not to displease and upset others, right? So they thought, we shouldn't upset Mohini. That's what is going through their mind, all of them, right? And other side, Krishna is nicely serving the nectar to everybody, right? And at the same time, Krishna is also looking at the demons. While serving the nectar, Krishna is now and then just to have a glance at the demons on the opposite side who are sitting there, right? He is serving but looking at the others, right? So, when this was going on, see what happened. Devalingam pradichanna surbhanur deva samsadi pravishta somam apiva chandrar kabhyam cha suchitaha. That even though he is a demon, who Surbhanu, one of them, among them, called Surbhanu, right? He thought, I'm not going to fall for all these things. She can look, she can smile, she can have whatever she wants to do. All these fools, my friends who are sitting here, let them keep looking at her. All I want is some nectar, because I can live forever. So what he did, he moved from this lane, came to the opposite side, and sat in the middle of two demigods, the sun and the moon. In between them, he went and sat them. There, right? So, if he has gone and sit in one corner, they wouldn't have noticed. Unfortunately, he is so stupid, he went and sat right in the middle of the sun and the moon, both. Right in the middle, he goes and sometimes you will see in the prasadam queue, people, they come and they look at, this is a huge line for prasadam. Everybody is standing there. So what they'll do, they'll come and look at the first few people who are, they'll try to find someone whom they try to cultivate some relationship. They'll smile and say, oh, I've not seen you for a while, or something, they'll start a conversation. And then you'll say, oh, why don't you join me? So you get inside. That's exactly how our Surbhanu has done. He gone and broke the queue. He didn't follow the queue. So he didn't follow the rules, right? Unfortunately, he got inside. That, what does that mean? What it means is, both sides is very bright. Everybody could notice it. One side is sun, other side is the moon, right? So whatever dress you put on, false dress you put on, in front of Krishna, don't try to do it. That's what it is saying. You can put any dress, sannyasi or guru or whatever you can put on. In any dress you can put and walk in front of Krishna. But you won't be able to cheat Mohini. That's the message there. Then spiritual life, be honest about what your position is. Do not try to show to the world that you are a spiritual personality and you have all these things as you're so realized. But in front of Krishna, all this is just a show. It's not going to work. It can fool the world, but you can't cheat Krishna. That's what it is, right? That's why in the Vedam, there is specific reference to all these things, right? So, whatever false dress you put on, Krishna will notice it. Krishna will notice it. Because of all the thieves, the greatest thief is Krishna. Isn't it? The greatest thief is Taskara. Among the thieves, he is the greatest of all the thieves, right? In Sri Rudram, about Lord Shiva spoken, Taskaranam Pataye Namah. He is the head of all the thieves. Taskaranam Pataye Namah. Actually, normal thieves, what do they steal? They steal our jewelry or watch or one of the expensive mobile phone these days. This is all what they want nowadays, isn't it? The thieves are looking for all these things. And or cash or credit card if they can, if you can't get the cash, or your identity theft. Things like that, that's all what they want. What does Krishna steal from us? Right. Keep on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What happens is, the sinful reactions what we have accumulated in several lifetimes, that's what Krishna steals from us, right? The more and more sinful activities, what we, because it is due to sinful reactions, we got a material body. It's due to sinful reaction we suffer in this world. So if you are suffering in this world, and if you have got a material body, means there's a lot of sinful reaction in waiting. That's clear. Otherwise, we should not have got a material body. Reason for a material body is due to our sinful activities. It may not be in this lifetime. Several lifetimes we may have done that. And that keeps coming back in the form of a body, and we are suffering through that due to this. So, more and more, as you keep hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that what is Krishna said about when Krishna was given the name, Garga Maharshi said this, Jagad Akhakarshitvam Va. Jagad Akhakarshitvam Va. That is what is the importance of Krishna. This, he is capable of sucking all sinful reactions of all the devotees. He is capable of doing that. That Jagad Akhakarshitvam Va Krishna Nama Vedanel. That is, the name Krishna itself means that, sucking all our sinful reactions away. So, if you observe people who hear Srimad Bhagavatam for a very long period of time, who are addicted to Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, so you will observe this in them. What is that? That there, because the sinful reactions have been burned out to a large extent by hearing Bhagavatam, because of their addiction to Bhagavatam, that they hear Srimad Bhagavatam in a different way. Why is that? That is because the sinful reaction is gone from them. Normally, ordinary people, you have to drag them to Bhagavatam. Isn't it? To put a rope or something. Because inside the mind is saying, oh, I'm going to waste 4 hours. I could do so many other things. I could visit my family. I could spend some nice time with the children, grandchildren, and this, that. Or I could do some nice shopping. There's a lot of special offers in the market. A lot of attractions in this world. The mind, the family life is like that, isn't it? Wife will say something, husband will say, why not? Start the journey. So, but when, if all these things in the mind, to get that person to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class is a bit difficult. Very difficult. Why? That sinful reaction inside. That is what is dragging us in that direction. But someone feeling willingly, feeling the necessity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam as much as Krishna allows him to do, when that stage comes, you don't have to drag him in. He will come on his own. He will take the initiative to come and take interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the indication that his sinful reaction is melting away. When the sinful reaction is very strong inside, we won't feel that attraction for Bhagavatam. Jagad akakarshitvam va. That is what he is saying here. That. And some people, they say, let's see, we'll hear, we'll sit for an hour or so and then come back from there. And all other material plans, enjoying plans, is working very strongly even while listening to Bhagavatam. So that is one way of listening. But there are others who listen to Bhagavatam. They are seeing the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam and they are enjoying the benefit of hearing Bhagavatam. Means that their sinful reactions are going away from them. They have nobody need to tell them about Bhagavatam. They will find out themselves and come to listen to Bhagavatam. That seriousness have come to them, to that reason for that. So, and if you look at the people's face, you will know what's going through their mind. Whether it is a forced hearing or it is something coming from inside, right? And this, Shukha Brahma, she said this in the second canto, in the third chapter. If you look, he put this in the writing there, in the Bhagavatam. Second canto, if you look in the third chapter. A symptom of a person who is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for some time, for long time, what will happen to that person? That is what? Tadashmasaram 2324. This is what he is saying. Tadashmasaram hridayam vadedam yagrihyamanair harinamadheyai na vikriye tathayadha vigaro netre jalam gatraruheshu harshaha. That verse is the statement from Sri Shukabrahmarshi. Shukabrahmarshi is saying, a devotee who has taken Krishna very seriously and who is attracted by Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, Srimad Bhagavatam, that person, tadashmasaram hridayam vadedam. Normally, ashmasaram means granite stone, hard stone. Our heart is like that. It won't melt easily. No matter whatever it says, it's fixed like stone. No attraction for anything. Kradayam badedam tadashmasaram yad grihyamanir harinamadheya. Such a person, when he hears Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's holy name, it starts melting. And when it starts melting, na vikriyetada yada vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harsha. All his body becomes ecstatic. The hair starts staying up, and also that emotions inside of the impact of Srimad Bhagavatam in him, that will come out in this form of the tears from his eyes. If all these things are happening in a person, then you can take it that that person has come to the that stage of enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam. He is not hearing Bhagavatam forcefully. It is not happening because of pressure from outside. He is doing it because from his heart, genuinely, that person has developed Krishna consciousness. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Attachment to Krishna has developed in him. That is the proof of that, right? So, these are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam to talk about it. What happens to a devotee when he becomes his heart after hearing Srimad, particularly in the 10th and 11th canto. After hearing that, and also the different stuti, glorifications. This will happen only when you keep on assimilating Bhagavatam, reflecting on all the Upadesham, Studi, Katha, all these things, constantly when one is studying and reflecting on that, these changes are bound to happen. So, you will see this, that great devotees have sung this in their poetry. They have sung this, that why has Krishna shown this mercy to me? To such an extent that I have started becoming absorbed in the Srimad Bhagavatam to this extent. So, Vidura, when he met Maitreya Maharshi, Uddhava says this to Vidura. That is how it comes, right? Vidura says to Uddhava, whatever you need to know. Uddhava asked Vidura asked Uddhava, Uddhava, you heard from Krishna directly, didn't you? Uddhava Gita, isn't it? Ekadasha Skandam. You are so fortunate. Why don't you tell the same thing to me, what you got? Why don't you give it to me? I am here. It is by good fortune that I met you in Vrindavanam like this. And before you go, tell me everything what Krishna has told you. Uddhava says to Vidura, Vidura, I am not the person for that. Krishna has already told somebody else to do that for you, and that's Maitreya, right? Go to him and ask him. And Vidura was asking Uddhava, and who is this? Uddhava was Prime Minister, Krishna's Prime Minister, right? And this Prime Minister, Krishna's Prime Minister, who has really enjoyed the Bhagavatam more than anyone else, is Uddhava. You can imagine, in this 11th canto, what Krishna has given to Uddhava, what is it called? Amrutam, nectar. Remember what Shukabrahmarshi said? Shukabrahmarshi in Srimal Bhagavatam does not say many times, offer obeisances to Krishna, only in selected places. One is this Mohini form. Shukabrahmarshi offers obeisances to Mohini. And another time, it is after Ekadasha Skandam. Bhava bhayam avahandam, jnana vijnana saram, nigamakrduba jakhre bringaval vedasaram. There, that nectar knowledge, amrudam, Shukabrahmarshi says it is nectar. What Krishna gave to Uddhava. Amrudam udhada discha payayal brithya vargan, purusha krishabha madhyam, Krishna samyam natosmi. I offer, and saying this, Sri Shukabrahmarshi got up from the seat and offered a full dandavad to Krishna in Ekadasha Skandam at the end. So, here, Uddhava's position is like that, who received the nectar from Krishna. How about Vidura? Vidura was called as, it's a special name used in the Bhagavatam, that Vidura Charanobadhanam, like the pillow for to keep Krishna's feet. Every time, whenever Krishna went to see Vidura, Vidura will say to Krishna, put your lotus feet on my lap, let me massage it. So Vidura used to massage Krishna's lotus feet every time. And that has become a habit. Nobody else Krishna allowed to massage his feet except Vidura. So therefore, all others started calling Vidura with a nickname, Krishna's pillow. That was the name given to Vidura. Vidura Charanobhidhanam, right? Now, Vidura and his wife also equally devoted, like Vidura, to Krishna. And his house is like a holy place, Vidura's house, right? In spite of all that, wife was a very good wife, very devoted wife. House was like a temple for him. It was very Krishna conscious house. In spite of that, Vidura felt there is no happiness at home. He wanted to walk away from there. And you know the story where Vidura's wife offered the banana skin. Krishna accepted that, right? So, while speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, the mind should be absorbed in that while speaking for the speaker as well as for the listener, right? But sometimes the mind goes. Impossible to completely get focused on that, right? So the situation with the mind is like the people who have taken the drink. It is like that, isn't it? So in order to come to that stage, similarly, while hearing Bhagavatam also, if the mind has to stay in the message, or in the katha, or in the studi, or in the upadesham, at that time, you have to become like Uddhava or Vidura, because they are the topmost example for hearing. Like the way Vidura, Uddhava heard Krishna, and like the way Vidura heard. So, talk about Krishna's stories, who appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. And talk about, like we saw about Raghuvamsham, Raghu. Solar dynasty is called as Raghuvamsham. Lunar dynasty is called Yaduvamsham, isn't it? It's not known by Krishna's name. It is known by Yadava. Krishna's Yadu's, Yaduvamsham it is called, right? So, mind has to be completely, all our attention, Shraddha, has to be there. Uddhava has convinced this to Vidura. Right? How was Uddhava able to say this? Because when Uddhava was 5 years old, Uddhava started worshipping Krishna. As a little boy, he was worshipping Krishna. Right? That means, even his Upanayanam ceremony is not completed. The second initiation hasn't happened. Normally, in the Vedic system, that after Samavartanam, for the Brahmachari, there is after education, there is a Samavartanam, And Samavartanam, after that only, is allowed to do the deity worship. That is the traditional rule for deity worship, right? Here, even he is not even 5 years old, and he's not had his Upanayanam ceremony either, but he was doing the deity worship. And he does not have any, before deity worship there is mantra, upadesham and all that. Nothing has happened. For him, there is no mantra, there is no articles for worship. Everything is in the mind. He is sitting there and he will, in his own mind, he will imagine, he will keep something in front of him and say, this is Krishna, this is Balaram. That is how he conducted his deity worship, right? And he will offer obeisances to that form. Some wooden pieces or some stones he will keep it, and he will offer obeisances to those stones, saying that this is Krishna, this is Balaram. That is how. So imagine what state of consciousness when he was born, he was like this. Even at such an early age in life, this Krishna consciousness was on a very higher level in Uddhava. We have to do this, all this, at 80 years also we are flogging again and again to develop some Krishna consciousness inside. Still its mind is resisting. Whereas Uddhava's life is spoken like that, right? So similarly, after he will prepare something, not in the normal way, out of the sand mixed with water, and say, these are the dishes I am offering to Krishna and Balaram. Puts that in front of them and make the offering to Krishna and Balaram. Then he circumambulates these two stones around, saying that I am circumambulating Krishna and Balaram. In this way, very high degree of Krishna consciousness was there in Uddhava from the very beginning at birth itself, right? And so and he used to invite Krishna and Balaram to have prasadam. And at the same time, all childhood pastimes, Krishna's childhood pastimes, he used to remember them at that age and he used to act them. And by the age of 13, he became prime minister, Krishna's prime minister. So you can imagine all this has happened because from previous lifetimes. Vrishninam pravaro mandri, Krishna's prime minister. Krishna Sadaida Saha, Shishyo, Brihaspati Sakshal. Brihaspati's disciple, Uddhava, Buddhi Sattama, most intelligent person. Right. So after that, and 13, when he was 13, he became the prime minister. And 113 years from then day, he was the prime minister. Uddhava was the prime minister. Right? So, with Krishna, till Krishna left this planet. So, he has taken that nectar, these 113 years, observing Krishna, always being with Krishna, associating with him. He has developed a Krishna consciousness, which you can't even discuss today. So, we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Okay.